much about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Howdy there, Shook.
Top of the morning to you, Jam.
Boy, you know this show is a good ditty right here.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, this is Rachel Nichols Baxter, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean.
If I even think about a girl that hot, I get the most unbelievable dry mouth. I mean, just picturing her beautiful eyes and her cute smile.
Hi, Bean. You know, I've always really fancied you and had a really good time on your show, but after an interview like today, I love you even more. More than I ever thought I could, really. That offer to slit your wife's throat, I think I'll take you up on it.
And now,
giggity, giggity, giggity,
our feature presentation.
No one was more surprised than I when she brought that offer up. I'll tell you that.
Yes, I'm sure she brought that offer up.
That was the first time I heard about it, was when she cut that. I had no idea. It was pretty creepy, actually. But, I mean, if that's what she's got to do, then that's what she's got to do. Who am I to stand in the way of true love?
That's big of you.
Welcome in, party people. It's yet another new Kevin and Bean show. I know you go to bed every night thinking, oh, please debut a new show tomorrow. I can't take it anymore. But no, we're back for yet another one. How's everybody doing? How are you, Lisa?
I'm good. Brought Boner in this morning.
It's oh, Boner fun. Visited.
Yeah, Boner's visiting today.
Lisa awesome. Said Boner's cold.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Because he's indoors.
Yes.
He's got to be freezing.
He's dying, actually. I forgot the blanket for the crate. So that's not good.
Well, you may have to take off your top then. Give him something to lay.
I'm thinking about it right now.
How about you, Muggs? What's going on with you?
You know, just living the life, doing the damn thing, trying not to get fired.
You're failing at that, by the way.
Oh.
Hey, I love this story so much, and I've known about the tragic yet hilarious Google results you get if you Google Rick Santorum's name. Just type in the word Santorum into your browser right now, both of you guys.
All right.
Because I can't say it on the air, because I can't read it on the radio, because it is not FCC
Yes, I do recall this, actually.
Wow.
Now, this is a man who is a former senator, I believe, from the great state of Pennsylvania. He is now one of the candidates for the presidency of the United States. And he's got a little bit of a Google problem, because people who go to their internets looking for more information on Mr. Santorum maybe shocked and maybe turned off a little bit by the results. Now, I knew about this. This has been a deal for a while, but it's in the news again this week because now he has gone to Google and he said, hey, stop it.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Which I don't blame him a bit, because it turns out, and this is the deep background, because I'm a guy who always wants more information guy.
Yes.
I didn't realize that it's not a real thing, that it's a made up thing, that it's basically an internet prank on Rick Santorum.
Wow.
He got into some controversy a number of years ago, back in 2003, when he compared homosexuality to pedophilia and bestiality.
Oh, that's great.
And a lot of people took exception to that, saying that there's no relation between the three. So a gay rights supporter named Dan Savage launched a campaign. He had a radio show / podcast, and he launched a campaign for people to redefine his name. And then they came up with this definition as being the thing that was going to be what Santorum meant. And you know how you can figure out a way to prank Google. They figured out a way to get it to the top, and it has stayed there, and it is still at the top. It's still the most, that's the number one search that comes up when you do Santorum on your computer. And, you know, they've gone to Google, and Google is in a tight spot because they're like, we don't want to change search results.
Mm-hmm.
If that's legitimately what's happening, then that's what we reflect. And they've had a long history of, you know, there was an anti-Jewish website, for instance, that came up to the top of the search engine if you typed the word Jew or Jewish. And they said, look, and the one of the Google lead guys who's Jewish, he's like, look, it's personally offensive to me, but we don't have any integrity if we start tinkering with the results based on what we prefer.
Right. We're not editors.
Right. They had the same incidents come up with there was a very an unflattering Michelle Obama website that came up first when you would search for the first lady.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the same thing, hands off. So at least it sounds like they're being consistent with their policies to not change the search results around. But what do you do if you're Rick Santorum? This has to drive you crazy. You're out there just doing everything you can to shake hands and meet people and make a good first impression, and you know that anytime anyone puts your name into the computer, that's what's going to come up.
Yeah, you can't really say you know, go to my website because, you know, they're they're going to come across this every time.
Search me on Google.
And how embarrassing to know that that specific description is being read by everyone who would like to support you or just wants to know more about you.
I sure wish I could give some hints so people, you know, it's probably driving people crazy listening to the radio right now who aren't able to search it, but it does involve bodily fluids, and that's about all I can say, I think. I don't know that there's more that I can add to that that won't get dumped on the radio here.
Oh, but, well, dumped is a good word.
Good point, Lisa.
Hint?
Anyway, it must be very frustrating for him. And I think it's been around long enough now that I think that's, you know, if that event happens in the bedroom, I think now it is officially known in real life as a synthorpe. So it's no longer a fake definition. Now it's an actual real thing. So anyway, that's your tip of the day when you get near some online services today. You definitely want to look that up because I think you'll enjoy it very much, especially now that you know the backstory.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's move on. A huge Kevin and Bean show today.
Thank you. Most interesting. Now I think we've had quite enough of this nonsense.
Actually, no, we're just getting started because the question has been answered. Which is better, Star Trek or Star Wars?
Ooh.
We'll explain coming up. I mean, there's two very separate. I mean, a lot of people love both, but when forced to make a choice, a lot of people also have an opinion. So it's a very controversial thing that has just happened. Star Trek or Star Wars? We'll talk about that. Also, this month, as you know, has been nothing but celebrating the glory days of grunge. The PJ20 movie is out now, celebrating 20 years of Pearl Jam as a band. And today we're going to talk to a representative from MTV about all the Nirvana programming that they're doing as the 20th anniversary of Nirvana's breakthrough Nevermind album is happening this week. So we've got that coming up. Chris Hardwick, our friend from Web Soup, is going to be joining us. He over there on G4. He's going to explain what's going on with the new Facebook, why it looks the way it does, and why so many people are making empty threats to go back to MySpace.
I hear they're going to. What's the Google one?
Plus.
Yeah, they're Google going to Plus? Google Plus. Yeah.
I heard people talking about this yesterday at a restaurant I was at, and I was like, is it really that
all
big,
over the place.
Big deal?
Yeah.
Well, it's a big deal because Facebook is the biggest website in the world by tenfold. Virtually everybody uses it. And when you change something that everybody uses, people are going to have an opinion on it.
Absolutely.
And people are going to have an instant opinion on it. People are not going to wait like 2 days to see if they get used to it or figure it out. People are going to decide on the spot, I hate this and I quit, which is how people are, which is why I love people so much. Our old friend Joel McHale joins us on the show today. Finally, some of the Thursday night shows are coming back on NBC, and one of them is Community. So we'll talk to Joel. Our older friend Jimmy Kimmel joins us on the program today.
Yeah.
Favorite late night host. Feast of San Gennaro is happening again this weekend. It's a charity that he started. It's over 10 years ago now, but it gets bigger and bigger every year. So we'll talk all about that. Beer Mug, you mentioned a restaurant. You were down at the soon-to-be-open, 22 minutes from now, Chick-fil-A in Hollywood yesterday.
Yesterday. And let me tell you, Bean, people love their Chick-fil-A.
I haven't even had it.
There were even hot chicks camped out.
What?
Yeah. I'm like, this is unreal.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Hot chicks don't camp out for anything.
That's
they
what
get
I
some
thought.
Ugly dude to camp out and then bring it to them.
That's what I thought, but no, they were there in full force.
Well, we're going to be talking to you today about what you've camped out for. It's funny, I mentioned Star Wars. I know there are a lot of people who have camped out over the years for various Star Wars movies opening, too. So we definitely want to talk to you about what you stood in line for. I mean, the lines for for Black Friday at some of the big retail stores, they start on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
People get in line before it. Miss Thanksgiving. Have Thanksgiving in line just so they can be there to buy the, you know, the $59 DVD player on Friday. So we'll talk to you. And Steve-O joins us back on the program. Fresh off the Charlie Sheen roast and fresh off a black eye from Mike Tyson. There's always a lot to talk to Steve-O about. All that coming up. Plus, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat next right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome to Thursday, Kevin and Bean Show. You know, Beer Mug has failed at every eating challenge we've ever put in front of him, but I believe he could eat boner. I think he could eat boner
in one
meal.
Gandhi could eat boner.
It's like four pounds of Mexican food is what boner is. All right. Hey, Ralph Garman, how are you, man?
I'm great. How are you, Bean Baxter?
What's going on in the world of show?
Well, I've got some tickets to give away. How about some very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening tickets for a little movie I like to call Real Steel? When I say real, you say steel. Real.
Steel.
Real.
Steel.
Oh, I'm such a hype man. It all happens on Tuesday, October the 4th. If you don't get a chance to go to the screening, it's in theaters everywhere Friday, October the 7th. But I would call now if I were you, 1-800-520-1067. And if you're one of the first two callers to get through, you will win tickets to see Real Steel, the action drama featuring Hugh Jackman. He's a former boxer who, against all odds, gets one last shot at a comeback when he gets to train the perfect contender for the new sport of robot boxing. Brings him and his son, played by Dakota Goyo, together, and Evangeline Lilly also stars as his love interest in the film, so can't go wrong. Hugh Jackman, Evangeline Lilly, two beautiful people making sweet, sweet robot love. Actually, they probably don't make robot love. I don't think they're robots, but still. I'm looking forward to seeing that movie.
Mm-hmm, it looks really good.
It's got everything I like. Hugh Jackman, boxing, Evangeline Lilly, Dakota Goyo. You know me, I'm a big Dakota Goyo fan. Congratulations to Emily Deschanel. And her husband and my buddy David Hornsby, they had their first baby this week.
Oh.
A son. They're both TV stars now. She, of course, is on Bones. And Dave's got a new sitcom called How to Be a Gentleman. Debuts on CBS this year. He and Dylan. Kevin. Kevin Dillon?
Yes.
Kevin Dillon. Yeah, from Entourage. They're co-starring in that show. So congratulations to those guys. Can you believe it was 35 years ago today that Charlie's Angels first aired on our television sets?
Wow.
35 years ago. And, I guess not coincidentally, the brand new Charlie's Angels debuts tonight. You can check that out. We're talking about the premieres of all the new shows on television and some of your returning favorites all week long to keep you abreast of what you want to set your DVR to record. Charlie's Angels tonight, Grey's Anatomy also tonight. Big Bang returns tonight. Person of Interest. That's a show I'm looking forward to checking out. The new J.J. Abrams, starring Michael Emerson from Lost. Ooh. And Jesus. Jesus is also in that.
Jim Caviezel.
Yeah. The Mentalist. Mm-hmm. Community. Parks and Recreation. The Office. Whitney and Prime Suspect are all debuting tonight.
That's too much show. That's Come ridiculous.
A lot for you to check out.
NBC owns me on Thursday nights. I'm sorry. That's unbeatable lineup for my money. Yeah. Hey, speaking of new shows, Ralph, I had a had more tragedy in the home yesterday, so I was unable to catch any television last night. But who watched X Factor, and how was it?
I saw a little piece of it.
I recorded it, and
it's American Idol.
Really?
I'll tell you that much. Got that going for it.
Cheers, Simon and Paul, and a guy who looks just like Randy, talking to kids who try to sing.
And it's weird because the fourth judge is Cheryl Cole, the original judge from England, until about halfway through the show. And then it becomes Nicole Scherzinger. Yeah, so it seems it's very disjointed.
That's bizarre. That
well, they fired her after a couple of weeks of the audition process.
Oh, my God.
And at Nicole Scherzinger. So that's kind of odd. But it is there's a lot of talent. I guess it's interesting because it's a wider range of talent. You get
well. That's the thing. Simon has been saying along with yeah. What's different is you can be any age, right?
Yeah.
But is that enough of a difference to make you need essentially another American Idol in your life?
And the odd part too, I think they're trying to separate themselves from American Idol, and this may not be to their advantage. Is that the audition process, which used to be on American Idol, is held in a hall with just the judges, so you get to focus on the person and what the judges say, is held in a giant arena, Staples Center-esque arena. So everybody is screaming and cheering and booing and yelling. There's so much crowd participation, it's almost distracting while you're trying to watch these people audition for the show. So, I don't know. I'll give it another shot. There are some very funny, bad auditions in it. Some real talent as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not very different, I'll tell you, from American Idol. Except for the age thing.
Yeah,
interesting. I can't wait to see how it does, because rarely has a show been hyped as much as X Factor has.
I finally got a chance to, I had TiVo'd the Playboy Club. I hadn't had a chance to see it until last night.
Yeah, I still haven't seen that either.
And I thought it was real good.
How much did Eddie Cipriani, is that his name, Eddie Cipriani?
Eddie Cipriani, yeah.
Remind you of John Hamm?
It's like he's doing a Don Draper impression.
Yes. A little distracting.
Everything he does is Don Draper.
Yeah.
The show obviously owes a lot to Mad Men and does not make any bones about stealing from them liberally.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting. A lot of storylines are being jammed into that first episode,
that
I'll tell
my
you that
thought
much.
Too. But the history of it is also, because they have Hef actually
do the voiceover.
Narrating,
yeah. I like that. I think it's got potential, so I'm going to watch for a couple more
episodes.
Very
exciting time of year, isn't it, to have all these
shows
coming back?
It's the most wonderful time of the year. While we're talking about Charlie's Angels, Minka Kelly had a little run-in on the set recently. Apparently, one of the crew members slapped her ass while holding up a $100 bill last month while they were filming.
What?
As a joke. It was meant to be a joke. Hey, baby, he's waving a hundy and he slapped her butt. Funny, right? Hello? Is this thing on? Funny?
I don't know. I suspect Miss Kelly did not think so.
She was not amused, no. She wheeled around and slapped him across the face, apparently.
Wow.
And word is she didn't have to deal with that particular crew member for long. The next day, suddenly he was missing.
How about that?
From the production.
He was replaced by Nicole Scherzinger. It was so weird. Right.
Yes, it was very strange. But I think that was inappropriate, and I think he overpaid, too, quite frankly. Minka Kelly, come on, she's not even on the air yet, for God's sakes. This disturbs me deeply. Another day, another cruddy reality show. The CW has announced, and I S you not, Extreme Musical Chairs.
Stop
no,
it.
That's a wacky Ralph comedy bit. Come
no,
on.
No. It is.
I don't believe you.
You don't believe me? Pick up a copy of Daily Variety newspaper today and read all about Extreme Musical Chairs.
No.
Contestants will have to navigate an indoor obstacle course and go through multiple rounds of eliminations as one chair is taken away each time as the music plays. It's Extreme Musical Chairs.
Is this the least expensive show ever put on television?
Where will you be when the music stops? Extreme Musical Chairs.
Is it just musical chairs, or do they also have to get into some hardcore twister on the way?
No word yet, but look for the CW network to be airing Extreme Musical Chairs later on this year. So
right after How Long Can You Swing in a Swing Set? Yeah. This is insane.
It's the Jacks League. Yeah, throw the ball and pick up the Jacks. Hopscotch, 2011.
Thousands of Domino's players from around the world. Only one can win.
If the CW needs a host, by the way, just give me a call.
This show is terrible and you oppose it. Yet, if they need me to host, I'll be there.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Dodgers legend Tommy Lasorda. He is 84 years old today. Say hi to Jane Biondi when you get there. NBA Commissioner David Stern is 69, sitting back there on his big fat ass doing nothing about the lockout. That's what he's doing, celebrating his birthday.
One of the players last night, I don't remember which one, tweeted, Ralph.
Was it a black one?
It might have been a black guy, yeah. Low-key talks underway. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing good things that there may be a season this year.
And blah, blah, blah.
I know.
Blah, blah, blah.
I know it's just one guy, and who knows if there's anything to it, but at least it sounds like they're still trying, maybe, rather than just giving up and, hey, we'll see you in the spring, you know?
Joan Jett of the Runaways, and of course, her very own band, the Blackhearts, celebrates her 53rd birthday today. All right. Joan Jett.
Yeah.
There we go. Andrea Bocelli. Hey, Andrea Bocelli, how you do? He's 53 years old today. Scott Baio. He's 51. Chachi's 51.
Wow.
Married with a kid, right?
Married with a kid, yeah. Bonnie Hunt is 50 years old today. Actress Billy Piper. Oh, I love me some Billy Piper. She was on that show, Secret Diary of a Call Girl. She was also one of Doctor Who's companions for many seasons. She is 29 years old today. Actress Laura Vandervoort from
Which
V.
One is she?
She was the daughter on V. She was also on Smallville, played Supergirl on Smallville.
Yeah.
27 years old today. And actor Tom Felton from the Potter films and Rise of the Planet of the Apes. He's 24 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Sci-fi fans love to debate, what's the better movie? Is it the Lord of the Rings franchise? Is it the Matrix franchise? There's lots of debates out there. A lot of great classic sci-fi movies. Is it Terminator? Is it Blade Runner? But the big debate, Lisa May, has always been, what's better, Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, that's tough.
Two of the most influential sci-fi franchises in all of movie history.
Yeah.
And they went to an unbiased guy with no reason to have any particular opinion in either direction. A young actor named William Shatner was asked that question this week. And what do you think he said? Let's find out.
Well, Star Trek had relationships and conflict among the relationships and stories that involved humanity and philosophical questions, which were dramatized at their best. Star Wars was special effects.
There it is.
That is absolutely true. That is Roland? Absolutely true, William Shatner.
Roland?
Yes, it's Roland, yes.
How,
How did you know we were talking about this?
I didn't. I heard you talking about it on the radio, and I just hacked into your communication center and was able to pop myself up on your audio board.
I still can't figure out how you can do that. It's kind of creepy when your voice disappears out of nowhere.
Quite simple, actually. Your equipment's rather pathetic over there at your radio station.
Well, compared to what you've got in your mom's basement. So wait, so you're saying that Star Trek is way better than Star Wars?
Yes, I thought I'd weigh in on this because you absolutely have no position to weigh on this whatsoever. You really have no strength in this area, so I thought I would take it upon myself to tell you that William Shatner, although biased, actually speaks the truth.
But isn't Star Wars, I mean, I know popularity isn't everything, but aren't the first three Star Wars movies three of the biggest movies of all time ever? Isn't that sign of popularity?
Of course they are. They're right. But I'm not saying they're not popular. Of course they're popular. It's just they're not as good as Star Trek. And there's many scientifically proven reasons why.
I would be interested in hearing those from you, Roland.
Well, if Star Wars had stopped after the first three films, then it would be a pretty close battle.
Uh-huh.
But unfortunately, unlike Gene Roddenberry, George Lucas didn't have the decency to die. Roddenberry had the decency to die before he could ruin his own legacy.
So you're saying the legacy of Star Wars is tarnished because the last three movies weren't up to snuff?
Absolutely. Let's take a look. Let's compare the two. Star Trek, cute little creatures, Tribbles, uh-huh, classic. Star Wars, cute little creatures, Ewok, BS. And Jar Jar Binks. Those are the only three words I need to give you. Jar Jar Binks.
Well, that was kind of a black eye, yeah.
It would be like giving Captain Kirk Chris Tucker as a best friend in a new movie.
Hey, don't say that out loud. J.J. Abrams may be listening and do that.
And Lucas keeps screwing with everything so much, he's ruined his own legacy. It would be like Roddenberry going back to when Spock dies in The Wrath of Khan after saving the Enterprise by taking on that radiation. And then they would redub in Shatner going, "No!"
Yeah, that's we get it. Yeah, not okay, Roland. Thank you. Not necessary. Right? No, we got it.
Oh my god,
Roland.
It's impressive, actually.
How does he do that? Is he a wind-up toy? Who's supplying air to him at this point? Yeah. You okay?
Set phaser for heart attack.
Auto 6.7 KROQ at 6:40. That is Nirvana here on the Kevin and Bean Show from the MTV Unplugged show. Still, I think, one of the best Unplugged shows they ever had. And it's hard to escape the influence of Nirvana, even 20 years after their big breakthrough album called Nevermind. 20 years ago this month. MTV, by the way, has so much stuff going on to commemorate that release of that album that we wanted to bring James Montgomery on the show. He is MTV's senior rock correspondent. Hi, James. How are you, man? Do we have him?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, there you
are. Yeah, there you are. How are you, dude? How are you feeling?
I'm good. It was a very grungy sort of moment of the feedback we had there.
Sorry about that. It looks like it's all good now. What does the senior rock correspondent for MTV do?
Well, the senior rock correspondent for MTV News, spends a lot of time complaining about how music isn't as good as it used to be and clamoring for the days of Nirvana. But no, basically, I try to find bands that I really like, new and sort of established bands, and I do a lot of interviews. I write a lot of stories for MTVNews.com, but, I was also sort of tasked with sort of leading this week of coverage we've had on the website, sort of remembering Nirvana, remembering Nevermind, this sort of amazing record, and this really amazing era for rock music that, sadly, turned 20, and unbelievably turned 20.
Turned 20. We were talking about that a little while ago, about how, the Pearl Jam movie is out this week, too, and it's been 20 years for them as a band, and it is crazy to think the time has gone that fast, and it also does lead you to wonder if there's, there are still lots of people making great rock music right now. I mean, there really – it doesn't get the mainstream exposure it once did, thanks in part to radio stations like ours and television channels like yours. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't sell like it used to. I mean, great albums come out now, and they may sell, 80,000 copies, and they may be great albums, as opposed to a time when Nirvana was around, when a great album could sell 8 million copies.
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't think anyone expected Nirvana's Nevermind to sell the way it did. I think, at first Geffen thought it was maybe going to sell 250,000 copies. So when it first came out, they only shipped a certain amount and people couldn't buy it for like weeks, which seems unfathomable, today. But I think it's a lot of things. You hit on the fact that there's still a ton of great music, but I guess sort of the support systems aren't there the way they used to be. I mean, people don't buy records the way they used to. You know, one, you know, there's no real place, you know, to show videos or, you know. Have,
says you know, the guy who works for MTV.
Yeah. You know, unless you get something, you know, Teen Mom or something, then it's like, no.
Right, of course.
I'm getting electric shocks with the chair now. I can't talk about that. But no, there's a lot of reasons, man. You know, they're all kind of depressing, but, you know, the deck is almost sort of stacked against newer bands these days.
Especially rock bands, exactly. You sure. can still do it. You can still do it in hip-hop. You can still be Lil Wayne and sell a million out of the gate. Let's go back to 1991 for a second, because there may be people listening who don't know what a sea change it was when Nevermind hit. I mean, it was a coincidence that they dethroned Michael Jackson from the number one spot, but it also, it was kind of poetic that that was a real changing of the guard between what had been pop music at that point, which was enormously popular, and it was kind of bringing rock back. But I mean, it was an earthquake when that album came out.
Yeah,
right,
I mean, that you know, Nirvana taking the number one spot over Michael Jackson was sort of like the real symbolic moment when, you know, one era ended and the next began. And I mean, you have to think back of everything that was going on the year or two before Nevermind came out, where pop music, like you said, was so massive but also so stale, and rock music was all hair metal and these bands that were all flash, no substance. And America had been through this decade of just, like, you know, the Reagan era, this excess, and, you know, then along came this band from the Pacific Northwest, this mysterious band that just wore whatever they found on the floor that morning and didn't care about a stitch, and just were just this incredible, real, visceral band who put out this amazing, amazing, you know, record. And, you know, they people could believe in them. You know, Kurt Cobain really, he stood for things, and he would never compromise. So they were kind of like the antidote to everything that people had gotten tired of for the past 10 years. And it was sort of like a real lightning in a bottle moment. And like just even today, the fact that thinking about this really amazing, critically acclaimed, and also just great rock band was also the most popular band in the country. It just seems it's mind-blowing that could happen, you know, at all.
You're absolutely right. And it's funny, you talk about Kurt Cobain standing for things. But he also was very much at odds with himself and the success of the band. I mean, we all remember the famous Rolling Stone magazine cover that he was on with the corporate rock sucks t-shirt and everything. Yes, so, I mean, exactly. It was almost like he had both things going on inside his head at the same time. And the band was not happy about, they were grateful their music was being heard, but they weren't happy about how popular they ended up being, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, just think about that sentence in terms of today. You know, it's like, I mean, that seems amazing that fans would not want to be popular because it would somehow ruin their ethics. But that was what they were like. You know, Kurt Cobain was always a little uncomfortable and sort of kept fame at a distance, or at least tried to, you know. And I think one thing that we did with, you know, all the coverage we've been doing on MTVNews.com is sort of talking to people who knew Kurt really well. It'd be, you know, knew him from backstage or, you know, had been friends with him. And you get all these really amazing stories of this guy who wasn't just this real dark, mercurial dude, but was actually, like, kind of a joker and liked having a good time, but also really hated everything that came with fame, you know, hated doing interviews, hated doing promo, all this stuff. You know, he didn't want to stand in the front of band photos because that's what Metallica did. That was his big thing, you know. It's just incredible. You know, they were this band, the biggest band in the world, and yet they didn't want to be that at all, you know. And it's sort of added to their mystique and their legend in the years since.
Were you surprised, as I was, at how the other two members of Nirvana, Dave and Chris, how much they downplayed their participation in the massive success of Nirvana in the years following? I mean, they were so low-key, and it took a lot of years before either one of them would even talk about Kurt or would even talk about the band.
Right. I think, you know, now they're doing sort of those, they're all coming out of the woodwork a bit now to talk about the record. But yeah, I think, you know, you got to remember when Nirvana ended, it ended really badly. I mean, not even, you know, Kurt's suicide, but also the fact that he basically wanted to break up the band. He didn't want to do it anymore. I think there was a lot of pain, the residual pain to deal with. And then there was all the stuff with who owns the estate and all this stuff. So it was a really, really sticky, messy situation that, you know, has taken years to sort of settle out. And I think that everyone just kind of wanted to do others. You know, Dave started doing the Foo Fighters. You know, Chris started doing politics and writing, you know, these sort of missives for, you know, newspapers in the Pacific Northwest. I think they wanted to do anything but Nirvana because it has sort of taken this toll on them, you know, in a lot of different ways.
We are talking to James Montgomery on the phone right now. He's the senior rock correspondent for MTV, talking about all the coverage that they have. And you can't believe how much there is. And most of it is at MTV.com. You're not doing a lot on the channel, right?
It's MTVNews.com. The channel is sort of a different entity altogether. So I know that the 120 minutes actually airs on the Saturday night, which is the actual 20th anniversary. I know they're doing a lot of stuff. I was sort of just tasked with putting together all this stuff on nirvana.mtv.com that, you know, sort of going through, you know, 20 years of tape we have on this band, like all the interviews, combing through all the stuff, finding these moments that people have never seen before, which is a lot harder to do than you would believe. But, you know, trying to find, put together like a picture of Kurt Cobain as like a real person and not everything you've read about him or think about him. It sort of give fans a different perspective. And also at the same time, try to put what happened 20 years ago with this record and all these other great records in perspective today. You know, if you're a fan of popular music today, you like Linkin Park, you like the Foo Fighters, you know, you like Nickelback, stuff like that, you got to remember all that stuff wouldn't have happened without Nevermind. And if you hate popular music today, then Nevermind is important because you can go back and listen and take some solace in the fact that 20 years ago, stuff was just about as bad, and then this band came along and changed everything. So it gives me a little hope, at least, that maybe something is right around the corner that can, you know, rectify the current situation.
Well, I would have given up Nirvana existing if it had meant no Nickelback, so I'm sorry that you put it in that context.
Well,
but
you know what I mean.
A tremendous, I totally get you. A tremendous amount of stuff at nirvana.mtv.com, and really, you guys have done a great job, because I was wondering if there's a place I can go to find out what Lil Wayne thought of the album, so at least you've got that covered for me. James Montgomery.
Weezy loved it.
Of course he did. How could he not? MTV Senior Rock Correspondent. Excellent to talk to you, man. Let's do it again. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show on a Thursday. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. Here's our friend, Ralph Garman.
Well, I got to tell you, things aren't looking good.
Oh,
what?
In the world of reality television. I mentioned last hour, extreme musical chairs.
Yes.
Which is not a joke.
Which is
a real thing.
Which is coming to the CW Network later this year.
Okay.
Also announced, ABC's new reality show, Celebrity Wife Swap. You remember good old-fashioned wife swap?
I like that show.
Yeah, I did too.
That was with the remember the religious crazy woman?
Yes.
I sure do.
This is an aberration against
God. This is blaspheme.
God. She was a God warrior, remember?
Yes.
That's right. I loved her.
Yeah, she was great. Well, they're doing Celebrity Wife Swap now, where the wives of celebrities will trade places and try to live with the other person for... Oh, I don't know, a week or two, whatever it takes.
Yeah. But I mean, that could be interesting. Just like Celebrity Apprentice, I thought was more interesting than regular Apprentice. I'd be willing to check that out.
Yeah. Well, you might be more inclined to check it out when I tell you what the first episode will be.
Okay.
Remember New Life Church pastor Ted Haggard? Ted Haggard was the pastor who was found out he was having a homosexual affair with one of his staff members.
Rings a bell.
And then apparently he cured himself, I think. He became, he prayed the gay away.
And he was the super evangelical, like one of those mega church guys who had thousands and thousands and thousands of followers, right?
Yes. Ted Haggard's wife will be swapping places with Gary Busey's wife.
Yay! Oh my God.
So Gary Busey will live with Ted Haggard's wife for 2 weeks, and Ted Haggard will live with Gary Busey's wife for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Maybe Ted Haggard's wife will finally get some.
They'll get some Big Wednesday.
That's a good point,
Lisa.
The
reunion show will reportedly be filmed with both families together at the Gay and Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
This is getting weird. This is getting weird.
That's episode one.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I'm sure the Haggard family, they live their whole life around Jesus, I'm sure. They're probably very, very strict, very, very conservative.
And who doesn't, really?
And who doesn't? But then you go over to the Busey household, and don't you just get the impression that anything goes at Gary's house?
That's right. Anything goes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, actually.
Wow.
I heard you talking to a gentleman from MTV, James Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
Sad news from the world of MTV. You know the show 16 and Pregnant?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, two of the stars of that show, Josh Rendon and Ebony Jackson, have had their two-year-old daughter, Jocelyn, removed from their care yesterday because the young mom and dad were arrested on suspicion of child endangerment and various drug-related charges.
Ugh.
The police apparently found marijuana and drug paraphernalia on the property, along with dog and human feces inside the home.
Oh, no.
The home was filled with not just dog poop, but people poop.
Oh. What the hell?
Maybe they should have spent a little less time being on TV and a little more time being decent human beings.
Yeah, I think that may be the moral of the story. And also, maybe 16-year-olds shouldn't be having kids. Put a condom on it, kids. That's the message for today's Showbiz Beat.
But I've heard you say in the past that it's science fiction that we can prevent pregnancy.
No, apparently they have come forward now with some new breakthrough technology that people can actually have sex without getting pregnant. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I believe it's actually true. Now, there are several, they claim, these so-called scientists who want us to believe in climate change and global warming, too, that there is a way now you can prevent pregnancy when you're having sex. Look into it, I say.
I will.
And I mentioned last hour that Charlie's Angels is debuting on ABC tonight, all over again. 35 years ago, the first Charlie's Angels went on the air. And tonight not only marks the 35th anniversary, but the return of Charlie's Angels. And there had been some talk about who will be the new Charlie. It was supposed to be Robert Wagner, but he dropped out of the show. And they were also talking about Patrick Stewart being the disembodied voice of Charlie. Remember, Charlie gives them their marching orders over that squawk box on the desk.
And you never see him, right?
Never saw Charlie, right. Mm-hmm. They're looking for a new voice. Rumor has it was going to be Patrick Stewart or Julian McMahon from Nip Tuck.
Hmm.
But according to the Vulture.com entertainment
website. Can I take a guess?
You can, yeah.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
Yeah, Larry Merchant. Larry Merchant will be the new voice of Charlie. And he'll tell the girls every week he wish he could kick their ass if he was 50 years younger. No, they're reporting that Alias co-star Victor Garber will be the voice of Charlie.
Great choice.
Has a great voice, and I think he would be great. So that show debuts tonight at 8 p.m. You can check that out.
Can we have an office pool on how many episodes the new Charlie's Angels will survive on television?
I think four.
Why are you coming at Charlie's Angels?
I think it's a dog. Yeah. I really do.
Look, the original
show was a dog. Were popular. I know that.
It's all about three hot chicks fighting crime and scantily dressed and climbing buildings in bikinis and things. And I think they can easily replicate the energy of that.
There's no way it lasts beyond a season. None. And I'd be surprised if it lasts a whole season. I really would.
All right. Save this tape. But when we're celebrating the fifth anniversary of Charlie's Angels, we can play this back-to-back with Bean saying, no one wants to watch celebrities dance. We can play back that tape.
Hey, I was right about Dancing with the Stars. That show did not. Oh, wait. It's like 12th season now.
And more news about new shows on television. Zooey Deschanel's sitcom New Girl, which I enjoyed enormously, much to my surprise.
I did, too.
I thought it was really adorable.
Yeah.
The overnight Nielsen numbers are back for that show, and it was Tuesday night's highest-rated new primetime show.
Great.
It got around 10 million viewers, which beat its lead-in Glee, which, you know, was already a ratings juggernaut, by over a million viewers. So congratulations to Zooey Deschanel and the cast and crew of New Girl. It looks like they've got a hit on their hands.
Excellent.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Tommy Lasorda, Dodgers legend.
Say hello to Jane Biondi.
He is 84 years old today. How much he must be enjoying this season, I'm thinking. His 84th birthday. Because the Dodgers, I believe, just locked it up, right? They're in the playoffs.
They've already won the World Series. They didn't have to play it this year. They're the world champions.
They don't have to play at all in the playoffs?
Oh, wait. They are off for winter vacation in about 4 days.
Oh, that's right. 84 years old today. David Stern, NBA commissioner. He is 69 years old. Joan Jett.
Touch me, I'm going to scream.
Of the Runaways, of course, and the Blackhearts, 53 years old. Scott Baio. Baio is 51 years old. Bonnie Hunt, one of my favorite actresses, comedians/talk show hosts, 50 years old today. Billie Piper, you know her from Doctor Who and also Secret Diary of a Call Girl. She's 29 years old. Laura Vandervoort.
Yes.
From V in Smallville is 27 years old. And Tom Felton. For you Harry Potter fans out there, he is 24 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, Ralph broke the story for us yesterday here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the controversy over the Schweddy Balls. Now, Schweddy Balls was kind of a throwaway joke that Alec Baldwin did on a sketch on Saturday Night Live. I think it was last season, maybe the season before. But it was a guy named Schweddy who has an ice cream flavor named Schweddy Balls. Right. That was a word pun, basically, is what it was. Because it sounds like Sweaty Balls. But it's not. It's just ice cream. So Ben and Jerry's, God bless them, said, hey, that's funny. Let's put out some Schweddy Balls ice cream. It sounds like a big laugh. If you're into Saturday Night Live, you thought it was a funny joke. Now you can buy the ice cream for a limited time only. Well, not everyone finds it so amusing, Lisa May. The American Family Association has written a strongly worded letter insisting that Ben and Jerry's pull the flavor. They say it is vulgar and they say it is offensive. It has no place in a family supermarket.
So we wanted to find out more about what they could possibly mean by being so offended by an ice cream named Sweaty Balls. And we asked producer Alex to line somebody up, and we have Carl Wendler on the line. He is with the American Family Association. Hi, Mr. Wendler. Thanks so much for joining us.
You want to know what I could be offended by that name? Is that the question you asked?
Yes, sir. Sweaty Balls.
How could I be offended? How could I not be offended by that name, sir? That's the question I would pose to you.
Because Alec Baldwin's character on Saturday Night Live was named Sweaty, mm-hmm. so he named his food product Sweaty Balls.
And that's funny to you. That's what you want your children asking for in the supermarket. Oh, Mommy, Daddy, buy me Sweaty Balls. Is that what you're asking?
I don't even know how they'd know about it necessarily.
Because their children are smarter than we give them credit for, young lady. That's how they know things. And it's a vulgar word, a vulgar flavor, and they've taken something as innocent as ice cream and turned it into something repulsive. And we at the AFA are furious, and this will not stand.
First of all, Mr. Wendler, you don't have to listen to Lisa. She's barren, so we don't really care what her opinion is on children.
Second of all, won't have children to pervert with her submissive and liberal ways.
Okay, what's the worst possible thing that could happen if a kid
Your child will be eating sweaty balls. That is the worst thing that could happen.
Right, and it's just ice cream.
No,
it's just ice cream.
It is a filthy, vulgar name, and that will forever be on the lips of your child. A second on the lips, forever on the hips. That's what we say.
Is part of it that Ben and Jerry's was already in your crosshairs because of their controversial support of gay marriage with the hubby flavor a while back?
Yes, they certainly do take some pleasure in naming their ice creams offensive names for all right-thinking Americans.
I feel like, and I'm not meaning to come down on the American Family Association per se, but it seems like there are groups out there, Mr. Wendler, who are spending all of their time looking for things they can be offended about that don't really matter.
That's ridiculous. We are offended by things that are offensive. It's just that simple. The Playboy Club, for example, that TV series on NBC, that disgusting TV series on NBC, we have certainly put that in our crosshairs as well. And as well as that new show, X Factor.
What's your problem with the X Factor?
Oh, why not call it Triple X Factor? Why not call it Sex Factor?
It has nothing to do with...
Why not call it X Fact Whore while you're at it?
It doesn't have any...
perverted name they want to call that show, X Factor. Oh, no, let's go see that X-rated show. Oh, uh-uh. X.
No. Mr. Wendler.
Sex, whore.
Do you have Tourette's? Mr. Wendler, stop.
Sex, whore.
It's an expression. X Factor is an expression to mean that special something that makes somebody a star, something mm-hmm. that makes a person likable. That's all mm-hmm. it means. It doesn't have anything to do with sex or pornography.
Believe it or not, there are children right now in America that are drinking breast milk. Is that something you want your children to have? Breast milk?
Yes. There's nothing more natural.
Let's be small infants and yet be sucking on woman's breasts. Is that something you want your children to do?
That's what women's breasts are for. They're designed.
You'd like me to believe that, wouldn't you, sir?
They're designed to feed children. That's what they do.
We're also boycotting all elevators. We will take only escalators and stairs from now on with the AFA. We are boycotting all elevators.
What can your problem possibly be with an elevator?
Maybe you want to ride in a shaft, sir, but I do not. I do not want to ride in a shaft, an elevator shaft. No, thank you. Not for me or my family.
But don't you want to go in and press a button and it goes down?
No, sir, I do not. We are also boycotting all jails and prisons in these United States.
We want nothing to
do with anything called the penal system. Thank you
very much. Again, you're mixing up your words.
My children will not be involved in the penal system.
It doesn't have anything to do with penises, Mr. Wendler. That's ridiculous.
We are boycotting all plants that grow up the sides of walls of buildings.
HIV,
yes. HIV, perhaps? Is that what you want?
Come on.
That you want growing on your building? HIV?
Carl,
is that what you
want? This is absurd. Oh, stop it.
I am boycotting the human race as well. Homo sapiens? No, thank you. I am no homo sapiens, sir.
I am
a hetero sapien, thank you very much.
You've
got
too far.
And this will
not stand. You're insane. Hang up on yourself, Carl. Stop it. Hey, listen to this, Lisa. Tomorrow.
Yes.
Talk about two of the hunkiest men in Hollywood on in the same hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're going to freak out.
What? Who?
Taylor Lautner,
ooh,
who's the singing dog in Twilight.
Wolf. Doesn't
and Kevin it. Smith, director, actor, writer Kevin Smith. I mean, you talk about some good-looking dudes,
That's
right?
That's a hunk of man right there.
Also, actor Jason Statham on the program tomorrow. Phil Keegan on the show tomorrow. The beautiful Anna Torv from Fringe. LaQuisha Reviews, Jersey Shore, The Movie Beat. A lot of show.
Yeah.
All right. Let's turn our attention to Facebook now. By now, most people listening are on the Facebook, and they saw the new changes that went into effect yesterday. There are some people, a certain segment of the population, Lisa may have been one of them yesterday as she started to see the new changes on her computer screen, who are freaking out and threatening to go back to MySpace. That's how bad it is. They're threatening to go back to MySpace. That's like having a fight with your wife and deciding at that moment, I'm going to divorce her and look up my ex-girlfriend. That's how furious I am at Facebook. But we wanted to find out if all of this is much ado about nothing. So we thought there's no better person to call into action than our friend Chris Hardwick. He is the Nerdist, of course, from Attack of the Show and Web Soup on G4. Very popular podcast and a Nerdist TV special that we'll talk about in a minute, airing this weekend on the BBC America. Chris, welcome back to the Kevin Abeen Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. I am good. I don't know if it's like going back to your ex-girlfriend MySpace unless your ex-girlfriend is Courtney Love.
That's an excellent point. How frantic were people in expressing their immediate displeasure because something on their computer screen changed yesterday?
Okay, it's not surprising because if you remember, like when we all first kind of got on the internet in the early to mid 90s, everyone lived in AOL, and then after that, people thought, "Oh, let's go outside and see what this web is all about."
Mm-hmm.
Then people kind of migrated back to Facebook because they wanted this really closed off, I guess, personal experience. And so people live on Facebook. That is how they access. I mean, like not a lot of nerds like me, but like people like. People who work at banks in the Midwest, and Lisa.
Me. And all so my friends. Bean is minimizing our experience here.
That is your home on the web, and so when you go online and you see that they've changed a bunch of stuff, it's like, well, who moved my couch? Where's my TV?
But I was saying yesterday, and by the way, you're minimizing how many people are on Facebook. I mean, you see the numbers. You know that Facebook is like by tenfold the biggest website in the world, right? I mean, it's huge.
It's 2.5 times the population of the United States.
Exactly, right. But here's what I was saying yesterday, and I'm one of the freaks who is not on Facebook because I do Twitter, and that's fine for me with the interaction that I need online. But here's what I was saying yesterday. I get so excited when a website that I use, like Twitter, for instance, when they rolled out new Twitter earlier in the year, I get excited when there is an upgrade, when there are new changes, because rarely does a website make changes, A, for the sake of change, and B, to make it any worse. Usually they're adding new features and new options, and I'm excited to see what it is. But people yesterday, even before it was rolled out, were begging online, please don't change my Facebook. I like it just the way it is. I don't ever want it to evolve. And that's the mindset that I can't understand at all.
Well, when Twitter has new functionality, though, it's basically like they're just sort of addendums to what you're already doing. But the basic functionality is the same. But Facebook changed the way it delivers information to people, and it merged feeds and added other feeds and moved controls and took away some features and added other features. And so it just sort of I think what they're doing is they kind of looked at other social networking sites and they kind of went, let's do more of this like Twitter does. Let's do more of the, like, for instance, you can't, the whole top stories thing. Now they mix in the most recent posts in your news feed with popular posts that they think you'll like. So they're telling you what they think you would be interested in. And I feel like it's kind of based on Reddit, where people can upvote stuff, and then the homepage is the most popular thing that people are into. But in a way, it sort of takes control away from the user, because it's like, well, you're telling me what I'm supposed to think is newsworthy.
Yeah, it's like when TiVo records things, just because I have space, things it thinks I want to see. Like Disney, for some reason. The Disney Channel all the time. It's not necessarily correct.
Now, Chris, I know we're only 24 hours into the Facebook upgrades, but you're a big picture guy. I think you see things online that a lot of us don't. Did they make a mistake with the way they rearranged the news ticker, or is it something that we're eventually going to get used to and like?
Personally, I think it's a mistake, but that doesn't mean that people won't get used to it. I mean, it's just like,
what choice do they have?
Yeah, I mean, what are people not going to go on Facebook anymore and see that their friend had a sandwich? of course, that's going to keep happening. So,
is there a way to either disable or go back to old Facebook if you want? Does that option exist?
That does not seem to be an option. Yes. Going back to old Facebook would require some type of time machine,
right?
And then, go ahead.
I was going to say, there was a top tweet going around yesterday, and tell me if this is true or not, that there was a way to go in and change your country to UK, and you would get old Facebook because they don't have it there yet. But then we heard some people tried that, and that didn't work. So yeah, I don't know if that was just erroneous information.
Yeah, no, I don't know anything about that. And ultimately, even if you are able to change your region and trick your computer, I'm sure that that's going to bleed into, you know, international Facebook at some point.
Right.
These changes.
Look, the Facebook guys have created a product that people adore. They generally do a good job. People trust them for the most part.
They adore it, though, Bean. I think they're addicted to it.
Really?
Like, I don't think people adore heroin. They just like, I think I have to have this in me. So
no reaction. Obviously, the company is waiting to see how it settles before they make any decisions on whether they made a mistake or not. So I guess right now, just deal with it. I guess that's the only advice you can give to Facebook people, right? This is the way it is. This is what's happening. Learn to go with it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're going to mainline the internet through Facebook, you have to, and when they make changes, what are you going to do? I mean, your choice is, well, don't use it.
Right.
Don't use it, you know, but we have become so kind of spoiled as consumers now in 2011 that it's like, I want everything for free. I want it when I want it. I want it exactly how I want it and shut up about it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're all right Facebook, about that.
Facebook has changed. Facebook has gone through so many little things that happen, like with privacy control issues that people are like, this is crazy. This is going to be the end of Facebook. And Facebook only gets bigger every year. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like they weather it pretty well.
This is the voice of our friend Chris Hardwick here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He's on Attack of the Show and Web Soup on G4. He's got the very popular Nerdist podcast. He also has a Nerdist TV special airing on BBC America. I know you're a little bit of an Anglophile. This has got to be very exciting for you to be over there. And that's going to be Saturday night at 10. What's it all about, Chris?
We basically took the podcast that I do, the Nerdist podcast, and we sort of turned it into kind of a roundtable chat show. And we built a set, and my friend Mike Furman is the music guy on the show, and I brought Matt and Jonah, the co-host, on. We have a live audience, a lot of whom dressed in costumes, which mm-hmm. was awesome. And then we had the guests Craig Ferguson and Matt Smith, who plays the Doctor on Doctor Who, which is my favorite show ever.
Wow. Now, so, is this going to be a series, or is this a one-time special, and we'll see how it goes?
It's a one-time special. We'll see how it goes. It's interesting. Usually when you shoot a pilot in television, the network decides whether or not they're ever going to air it or pick it up. But this time, BBC was like, hey, we shot it. We'll air it. If it does well, you'll get to do more. If not, we'll call it a special.
Well, that's a great lineup. I mean, Craig Ferguson is so entertaining. And obviously, obviously people love Matt Smith from Doctor Who. So that sounds like a lot of fun.
I think it's going to be fun. Yeah, I mean, it was fun. So I had a blast.
Saturday night.
The whole Facebook thing is just taking the edge off everything.
I know. It's kind of hard to even enjoy life. I don't even think my food tastes as good now that Facebook has changed their settings.
Yeah.
Saturday night, BBC America at 10. Look for the Nerdist TV special. Follow Chris on Twitter at Nerdist. And then the website, of course, is Nerdist.com. Thanks for your thoughts on this, man. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Lisa. Give me some
love, time and a dream. There it is. There it is. The NBC Thursday night lineup returns tonight. You got your community, you got your office, you got your parks and recreation. I'm very excited about this new Whitney Cummings show that's also debuting tonight. But it all kicks off starting at 8 with Community and the return of our good friend Joel McHale. You've been enjoying him on Basic Cable all summer long on Talk Soup, on The Soup, I mean. And now he's coming back to Community and back on The Kevin and Bean Show as well. Hey, Joel, how are you, man?
I'm well. Thank you for that awesome introduction.
I'm so excited about. I mean, I know I'm a TV geek, but mm-hmm. when the new seasons, when my shows come back, I'm so excited to get back into them again. It's been a long, lonely summer, Joel. I've missed you, my friend.
Do you call them my shows?
I do. I call my stories my shows. Yeah. At least you've got no competition with that new Charlie's Angels over on ABC in the same time slot tonight.
Oh, it's also a Sony show, so I can't disparage it.
Oh, I see. As bad as it is, you're not going to be the one to say it.
It may be the best show in television history, but I still want people to watch Community.
Joel,
yeah, we have no competition with The X Factor and Big Bang Theory. Vampire Diaries. Nothing.
No, Thursday night at 8 is a cakewalk. They're giving it to you.
Yeah, with a lead-in like Access Hollywood, we just kill.
I got to tell you, we've been on board with Community since the beginning. It has turned into, and you see, I know you read the reviews, you know the critics agree with what I'm about to say. It turns into the show that has the most unexpected and bizarre plot lines of any show on TV except for maybe Children's Hospital. It's so crazy how far out Community has gotten in the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, and wait till you see... tonight because there's a poisonous gas. There's a lot of violence. John Goodman is on the show now. And Michael K. Williams, who played Omar from The Wire.
Oh, my God.
Yes, he's our biology teacher.
Oh, he's great.
Is John Goodman a one-timer, or is he going to be a fairly regular cast member?
Yeah, he's already signed up for six. Hopefully he will agree to more. He plays our vice dean of air conditioning repair.
See what I mean, people?
It turns out that part of the school is the most profitable part of the school, so he has all the power.
Are you surprised, Joel, that Community has survived and is going as strong as? I mean, I know that there are always questions when a new show gets off the ground, particularly on a Thursday night on NBC. But I mean, you hung in there, and now it seems like it's fairly successful.
Thank God. We're going to its third season. Thank God. It is a thing where we're kind of like a reef. In that the ocean just keeps flowing through us and battering us, and yet we still are a wonderful source for plant life. What am I talking about?
No one knows.
It's been great that the fans have been, thank God, they've been there for us. They are mighty. So without them, we would have been gone a long time ago.
What's the paintball obsession on Community? Why so many paintball shows?
Well, it started in the first season, close to the end of the season. Justin Lin, who directed, the Fast and the Furious, most recently, and he directed this big, crazy paintball war, and it just got bigger and bigger. So this 22 minutes of comedy took about 3 weeks to shoot, and then the next year. NBC said, hey, why don't you do two of those? And it has taken on a life of its own. And so I'm hoping that by the end of this season, we really raise the stakes and use live ammunition.
Yes.
Oh, that'd be great. Because you got too many cast members anyway.
Yeah, it'll be like the end of Hamlet next year. We will clean house.
Are you still looking for every possible reason to take your shirt off of the show, or have you gotten fat and that won't happen anymore?
Well, listen, I have six nipples, and just to cover the four ones that are errant is very difficult, so I'm going to try to keep it on. Yeah, I'm already dieting. I am naked in some, so, but it's just mostly my penis.
Wow, NBC is really going outside the box.
Yeah, they're really edgy this year.
For an 8 o'clock show. All right, last Community question for you, and that you kind of left it on a little bit of a cliffhanger with Pierce was a little unhappy and may not be coming back and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. We get a resolve on that tonight to find out whether Chevy Chase continues?
He's been showing up to work for the last 7 weeks, so he's definitely in the show, but it's not fully resolved. My character still can't stand him, but you'll see the turn it takes, and it involves hallucinations, monkey gas, as I mentioned earlier, and possibly an axe.
Okay. All right. This is the voice of our friend Joel McHale here on the Kevin DeBean Show talking about the season premiere of Community. Joel is always very busy. We didn't get to talk to you when Spy Kids came out, but that was in theaters recently. And then you also made what to me was a surprising appearance on the Emmys this past weekend.
How did I know this would come up?
Well, I mean, it is current. It is news. Joel was part of an all-star cast of celebrities not known for their singing, but in a vocal group called the Emmy Tones. Here's just a few seconds of what that sounded like.
Variety, reality. We used to do them separately, but we lumped them together tonight, so we wouldn't run long.
Now, I don't know what they're smoking at Community, but I wonder if it's the same thing as what they're smoking at the Emmys.
Much like Guns N' Roses, we are announcing the world tour.
Tell me how this happened, Joel.
Well, you get the call from the Emmy Lords, and they say, hey, Jane Lynch would like you to be in this group with Zach Levi and Kobe Smulders and Kate Flannery and then LL Cool J And they say, you're going to sing. And I, and then you go like, all right, that sounds great. I won't shorten my career doing that. And you know, it turns, you know, Tom Cruise is in the audience, and this was going to be my one chance to sing for him.
Sure, right. And that's a, I know that's been a lifelong dream of yours since you were a little boy.
Yeah, I'm sure he was sitting on a phone book, but I think he still saw me.
So then you're there. I mean, I guess you guys were probably there for rehearsals all week and practicing all those little songs.
Yeah, look, as you could see, we were one of the tightest singing groups in the history of music.
And oh, sure.
That required a lot of rehearsal.
It was
exactly
so bizarre.
The real voice, so.
It was just crazy. I mean, it was just one of those like surreal things that you don't expect to see on a show like the Emmys.
Yeah, so you're saying you loved it is what you're saying, right?
I'm saying that it was more, it was a curiosity more than it was an addition to
like,
the show.
Like a two-headed baby.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's fun. Yeah. It was kind of, I'm glad that it happened. I'm glad that I got a chance to see it. It's not a thing I need in my real life forever, but I give you credit for having the stones to go up there and do it, not being a singer, not being on Glee, and still having the nerve to walk out on stage and do that in front of actual TV professionals.
Yeah. I knew that, to get people to watch Community, they needed to see me. A 50s style a cappella group. That was the only way that I was going to get more eyeballs on the show.
It makes sense to me. I said, I don't know that it was entirely successful. I applaud anybody who swings for the fence. There's not enough of that on television, and particularly on award shows that generally are pretty boring and predictable. I like to see them try something out of the box. I really do.
I thought when LL Cool J came on, it was really good.
It was fun. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, Joel.
And
you know
how the Gold Lame on the tuxedos. It could not have been better. It was.
It was a beautiful look for you, my friend.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm so happy I barely survived. All that.
You know, we love you long time, Joel. You know, we always enjoy getting a chance to catch up with you because you're one of our main men.
And I am just glad Bean's not there.
Hey, this is Bean.
Oh,
wait a minute.
I'm kidding.
Community.
I'm just glad that Lisa had so many questions.
Community airs tonight. It is back. Do not miss the season premiere at 8 o'clock on NBC. Joel, have a great week, man. We'll
Thank
talk to you again
so
soon.
Thank you so much for having me,
Bye.
You guys.
Bye-bye. Cesar Segura from Pomona. That's a lot of vowels. Just won tickets in the pit for Epicenter 2011 happening Saturday at the Verizon. Tickets available. Details at KROQ.com. It's the world-famous KROQ at 7:55. Thanks for... excuse me. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel joins us right after the top of the hour. You remember Jimmy Kimmel? He used to do sports on this show, Ralph.
Not familiar with the man, but
looking
forward to meeting
him. I think he's promoting Italian festivals or something now. I don't think he's got any other job.
I think
we'll
he's now a baker. He makes
maybe that's
Italian rum cakes.
That could be it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll catch up with Jim right after the top of the hour. Now Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
This Saturday night, come join me. And this week, it's John Lovitz. Ooh. John Lovitz.
It's me.
That's my special co-host on Hollywood Babylon Saturday night at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater up at City Walk at Universal, 10 p.m.
Who cares?
Saturday night. Go to thelovitz.com for details. You can see me and Lovitz. Good time. By the way, Lovitz is going to be at the, he is a very funny guy. He's at the Hermosa Beach Comedy and Magic Club tonight, if you want to check him out. And he's also doing a stand-up show at 8 o'clock at the Lovitz Saturday night just before we do our thing. So a lot of chances to see John Lovitz this weekend, and I recommend you take him up on that opportunity.
It's going to be weird for so many people who didn't know he was still alive and all of a sudden have a chance to see him three times in 3 days.
Did I say Hermosa Beach tonight?
You did.
I just want to make sure I got the date right so I'm not screwing the guy over. I love this story. Just when you think reality television is going to be bad, it's going to be the downfall of society, it's going to be the end of entertainment as we know it, they come back and give you something great. For every extreme musical chairs, as I talked about earlier today, there's a celebrity wife swap with Pastor Ted Haggard and Gary Busey. Yes.
That sounds pretty strong.
And then for everything that's disgusting and obnoxious like MTV 16 and Pregnant, they give me this show. Which I'm looking forward to seeing. It's just been announced that Courtney Stodden has been given her own reality show.
Yay!
For those of you who don't know who that is, you may not have heard me talk about Courtney, the 17-year-old bride of Green Mile and Lost actor Doug Hutchinson.
Oh my God.
She is magical, and she is going to have her own reality show.
That might actually be a good idea.
Good idea. It's the best idea ever, Lisa. The reality show, and I'm quoting from their press release, will give viewers a look into the newlyweds' unconventional lifestyle and promises to be no holds barred.
That isn't good for you.
We're going to be very, very open about our lives.
We want everyone to see our life. Nothing is off limits. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Crazy Courtney Stodden and crazy Doug Hutchinson just talking about how their love has set the world on fire.
Oh, and she is sex-obsessed, mm-hmm. too, that one. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's insane. Mm-hmm. And I think we're eventually going to find out she's like 24.
She's
and this
not.
Whole thing is a publicity act.
I've seen her birth certificate.
Yeah, but
really?
It could be photoshopped by that guy who did the Obama one.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it could be a fake. Oh, I cannot wait. REM is no more. The band posted this statement officially on their website yesterday. We walk away with a great sense of gratitude, of finality, and of astonishment at all we have accomplished. To anyone who ever felt touched by our music, our deepest thanks for listening. REM was formed in Athens, Georgia back in 1980. How about that?
I got into a mildly heated conversation with a friend of mine last night who did nothing but poo-poo REM's legacy, saying that they were one of the most overrated bands in history, to which I say, then you weren't alive in the 80s when they were awesome.
They were awesome.
And they're one of those bands, you know, like Nirvana, that a million other bands followed in their footsteps. And, you know, they changed the direction of music.
They did. They hacked their way through a musical jungle and made a path for other bands when there was no real alternative music. REM was one of the bands that led that charge. So you got to give them credit for that, if nothing else. And plus, listen, 4 top 10 singles, including Losing My Religion, of course, probably their biggest hit in 91. 15 albums. A solid body of work. I'm not saying
Absolutely.
They're the greatest band ever, but there's a lot of good music those guys made. I think a lot of it was tarnished by the perceived notion that, what's the dude's name? Michael Stipe. Was sort of a humorless prick.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people turned on them because he seemed to be a little sour.
Yeah.
And I don't think they garnered a lot of goodwill, that band, because of that.
Yeah, he was super serious. Eddie Vedder has had a little bit of that kind of backlash, too, as a guy who just is not a guy you want to have a beer with. You may like him musically, but it's hard to go beyond a certain level if you have that persona publicly.
Yeah, so I'm sorry for them. But, so they're calling it quits, which is probably a wise move.
But don't you think Shiny Happy People was one of the worst songs ever recorded by anyone?
Yes, absolutely. It's hideous.
Because that was also, that's got to be a ding in their paint, too, right?
However, Everybody Hurts...
Oh, so good.
Makes me cry every time I hear it. It is a beautiful, poignant, really sort of soul-crushing song.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a brilliant piece of songwriting. So, all right, that's enough REM talk. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, I'm so glad Kevin's not here today. Can you imagine if we talked that long about REM and Kevin was in the room?
His head would have gone.
I don't know who REM
you
are.
You got the number on the arrow, right?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Dodger legends, Tommy... Legend, just the singular. Tommy Lasorda is 84 years old. I'll probably see him tonight.
Say hello to...
Jane Biondi. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, he'll be at the festival tonight,
Italian feast that Jimmy Kimmel throws every year. I'm sure I'll
count
see
on
Tommy
him
there.
And Tony Danza, right?
Yeah, Tony's always there. David Stern, NBA commissioner, 69 years old today. Joan Jett.
Pretty little face.
Is 53 years old. Scott Baio, 51. Bonnie Hunt turns 50. Billy Piper of Doctor Who fame and also Secret Diary of a Call Girl. She's 29. Landa Vandervoort. Love that name, Vandervoort. She is from V. She played the princess of the aliens. I miss V. I wish she was still around. And Smallville. She was Supergirl in Smallville, 27 years old today. And Tom Felton of the Harry Potter films, 24 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That theme song can only mean one thing. Our old friend Jimmy Kimmel from Jimmy Kimmel Live on ABC Weeknights. Back on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, James?
Whatever happened to Kevin? That's the question.
Rehab. Rehab, vacation, I don't know.
Vacation, yeah. Yeah, vacation in some lockdown ward.
Hey, Jibs, before we talk about the big event that starts tonight, and I'm grateful, as always, for you squeezing us in with your busy primetime network schedule, but the Emmys the other night.
Yeah.
Hilarious bit you came out with Fallon. It's always fun when you see competitors work together on something. What's the relationship like between all of you guys, the very few of you are that do late night shows? I mean, are you and Dave and Craig and all those guys, are you actually friends or are you, competition, a little standoffish?
No, not at all. Well, you remember how vicious it was in radio?
Yes.
Right? It's not that bad.
No? But everybody hates Leno, right?
Yeah, everyone hates Leno.
Okay. I just want to make sure I got that.
No, I never met Jimmy Fallon. I'd never talked to Conan for more than 1 second before this weekend, and I once met Craig Ferguson for 5 seconds.
Wow, that's such a surprise, because I feel like I always assumed it was like movie stars. You know, all movie stars know each other, and they're always at parties at each other's houses, and they're always going out to dinner. I just assumed that you guys would all be pals.
Yeah, no, I'm pals. I hang around with only movie stars.
Oh, I see.
Well, it was a very, very funny bit, and I kept thinking, not that Jane Lynch did a bad job, she certainly did, but I kept thinking you and Fallon would be awesome hosts, even together, if they wanted to go that route on the Emmys, because it seemed like you guys had some really good chemistry. It was a good bit. And one more Emmy note, it was so heartwarming to see your Uncle Frank in the In Memoriam segment of the Emmys the other
cool?
night.
That was.
Was great.
Put him in the montage.
Yeah, I know we've exchanged emails, but we haven't spoken with you. But our deepest sympathies to your family for us, Uncle Frank. He's really, really going to be missed. And he's really going to be missed tonight as you kick off the annual Feast of the San Gennaro.
I know. He loved it. He lived for this weekend. He really did.
Jimmy, it's been 10 years you guys have been putting this on, right?
Yeah, really longer than that, but this is our 10th year with the public. You know, it's something that started in my backyard, and it was an excuse for me to eat Zeppelis, which are like little Italian fried donuts.
Yeah.
And then I realized I needed more Zeppelis. I needed an industrial-sized batch to cook the Zeppelis in. And we expanded, and yeah, it's turned into a big thing.
Now, tonight is the kickoff night, which is the Prima Notte night, and that is the fundraiser, and that's the expensive ticket that people can buy, and they come down and they hobnob with you and hobnob with the celebrity Italians, right?
Right, exactly. Like Adam Carolla, you've heard of him?
Mm-hmm. No.
And other celebrity Italians whose names you probably would recognize.
Come on, Tony Danza will be there probably, right?
I don't know. Usually he doesn't come.
How about Frank Stallone will be there?
Yes, probably, yeah.
Okay.
You can go to feastofla.org if you want to buy tickets for either for tonight, the fancy night, or for the whole rest of the weekend.
Well,
and it happens
the weekend, you don't have to go on and buy. You can just come
oh,
by.
Oh, that's even better. Okay.
And you pay, I think it's like $5 to get in, but then you can use that money towards food. So if you're planning to eat anyway, it's free. And it's all for charity, the whole thing.
Yeah, it is for a great charity. And I'll tell you, I go every year, and the food, if you're a fan of Italian food, they have a variety of vendors and food booths there. You can have anything from pizza to calamari to Zeppelis, everything that you want. And there's rides for the kids, and there's entertainment. I mean, it really is a great event every year, Jim.
Ralph is our MVP, because every year Adam and I, Carolla, we get up and we do like an auction of, you know, and I've done a lot of these auctions at a lot of charity events, and usually you get like 8 rich guys, like, you know, really just getting in a competition to look good in front of their girlfriends or their wives or both sometimes. And they'll just was like $20,000, $30,000, $180,000. Like, really? $180,000 for this ashtray? It really? Wow. At our feast, Ralph is the only one who bids.
That's true. I get some great deals.
Occasionally, my cousin Sal bids just to screw with someone else that is bidding.
Ralph, what treasures have you gotten from the auction?
I got my wife a cruise. She went on a Mediterranean cruise that I won at the auction.
And that was just to get her out of the house for a week, right?
Trip to Hawaii we've gone on.
Sometimes I feel guilty, and I like Ralph, you sure you want this?
Jimmy actually gave me an opportunity to give it back one year. He said, "Wow, oh, I feel bad. You're bidding on everything.
I don't want you to have to pay for everything. Sometimes you get caught up in the heat of bidding, and it's very nice, though.
No, my wife loves to get at least a trip a year from the feast when we go every year.
Excellent.
So you're like our travel broker, Jim. I appreciate it.
Well, you're going to be going to beautiful Afghanistan.
Oh, nice. The website, again, by the way, for tonight and for more information about the festival this weekend is feastofla.org. Feastofla.org. Hey, Jim, what is the charity? Who does get the money?
We have a variety of charities that we distributed to mostly, well, actually all in the Hollywood area. My Friend's Place is one of them. There's a food bank. There are a variety of charities that we do, as my Uncle Frank used to like to spread it around, as he used to say.
I appreciate that you send me the invitation every year. Of course, I'm never there because I'm not
local. That's why we send it.
I know. But you do give the option this year of making a donation in Uncle Frank's name, which I thought was very nice, too.
And thank you for doing that, too. That was very nice of you. Oh, I appreciate
absolutely
that.
Happy to. But there's no excuse to not make it because it's happening tonight and then all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And it's right behind your theater where you do the TV show in Hollywood, right?
That's right, Hollywood and Highland. Hey, have you guys talked about your big award on the air, or are you being humble?
Modest.
We mentioned briefly.
Ralph mocked it in the Showbiz Report the other day just because he couldn't believe it.
Well, because you guys asked me to mention it when I called in.
You've never had a conversation about this.
It is the Marconi, Jim. It is the Marconi.
Broadcasters of the Year in the whole country. That's unbelievable. Congratulations.
That's what we said.
It's literally unbelievable, by the way.
Is the award made of macaroni?
No, it's Marconi. Marconi.
Oh, Marconi. Yes. Oh, because he's the guy who made the thing.
Exactly. Right. Yes, Jim. Yes.
Okay. Well, great. Well, congratulations.
Jimmy Kimmel Live airs tonight at midnight on
if
ABC.
If Kevin ever comes back to work, tell him I should congratulate.
Well, as soon as Dr. Drew signs off, he'll be back.
Okay.
His guests include Sammy and Ronnie from the Jersey Shore, also Ellen Pompeo talking about the return of Grey's Anatomy tonight, and musical guests.
What? Does that mean Sammy and Ronnie are going to be at the feast tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Jim. What are you doing to me?
Musical guest Daryl Hall on the show tonight.
It's like having, like, imagine we have some chimpanzees in the cage. Think of it that way.
All right. James, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks.
Our man Beer Mug was Johnny on the spot yesterday. He went down to a little bit of a Southern California sensation, a brand new Chick-fil-A restaurant, because as Ralph so eloquently pointed out yesterday, you can't get a chicken sandwich anywhere else.
Nope. They've got the patent.
So this is the first time chicken sandwiches have ever been available in the history of the world. So a lot of people were lining up for several days because, well, here's the manager that Beer Mug talked to yesterday to explain why there was a big line of campers waiting for the restaurant to open this morning.
What we got going on is our first 100 promotion. So essentially what's happening is there's 100 people camping out because the first 100 customers in line tomorrow morning get free Chick-fil-A for a year.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. Wow, that is a lot of Chick-fil-A.
That's amazing.
You have one reaction to everything everybody says.
Come on, you know
just
that by
awe.
Now.
Just everything awes you.
Everything is amazing.
Everything just blows your mind. That's not amazing. It's just interesting. Barely interesting is what it is.
You're so right, though, because I sense that Mug's reaction would be the same to, hey, you just won the lottery, to, hey, I just accidentally ran over your dog in the driveway. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. You'd be like, that's incredible.
Wow, that's great.
So I started thinking about this when I realized that people were camping out in some cases for two full days for Chick-fil-A. And I thought, look, I get the draw. Even if you love – I don't know anything about Chick-fil-A. I guess I've
it's
eaten there.
It's a great sandwich.
It doesn't stand out to me. I guess it's good. All right. Even having said that, and even knowing that free food is good and having a free chicken sandwich every week for a year would be fine, would be nice to have. I would take it. I would enjoy it. It's not enough to get me to camp out for 2 days. It's just not.
Well,
right?
What if you didn't have the money for a Chick-fil-A sandwich, and yet every day you could know that you had a hot meal coming your way because you just slept out for a couple days?
That might be worth it.
So in other words, only homeless people are the people who are in line, right? Because they're the ones who don't have any money to buy food.
Starving actors or musicians or whatever, this could be a way to, you know, save some money. I can see it.
Let's hear a little bit of the people who were in line that Muggs had a chance to talk to. Here's number one.
What number Chick-fil-A grand opening this is for you?
This is number 68.
Would you be willing, if it came down to it, to give me your wristband?
It can't be done.
I love
First of all, it can be done, obviously. It's physically possible.
I also love that Muggs has been working with Kevin too long, and now he just puts words in random order.
Can I hear that opening again?
Yes.
Yeah, let's hear that first sentence again, Muggs, if you can bring it up.
What number Chick-fil-A grand opening this is for you?
Thank you, Yoda. So that guy is obviously there because he's just hardcore Mr. Chick-fil-A. He said his 68th, was he talking about his 68th restaurant opening?
No, he's number 68 in line, right?
No, in line.
No, 68th restaurant opening.
Not possible.
Yes, possible. This guy is a raving Chick-fil-A
fan. All
right,
hold on. Time out. Yeah. Back it up. Let's play the whole thing from the top because I missed this. I was laughing so hard at your inability to ask a simple question that I missed this guy. Can I hear him again, please?
What number Chick-fil-A grand opening this is for you?
This is number 68.
Would you be willing, if it came down to it, to give me your wristband?
It can't be done.
It can't be done.
That's if it so came down to what?
Not if I offered you $100. Yeah. Not if I put a gun to your head. If it came down to it.
That's a good question. Does he travel all over the country looking for Chick-fil-A openings?
Yeah, he's the man for that.
All right, give me one more, please.
For that.
Give me one more.
Oh my god!
So this is your first time dabbling in food.
Oh, it's my second time. I love chicken.
Oh, so this is your second Chick-fil-A.
It is.
Fantastic. What a great interview. What a great interview.
It's your first time dabbling in food.
Mugs, you're the best. All right. Now, having met some of the people camped out for Chick-fil-A Hollywood, and by the way, am I wrong about this? They have Chick-fil-A's in other Southern California communities. There's one like that in Redondo, right? There's other locations. Yes. It's just this is the first one in this zip code, and that's why people are going crazy.
Right.
We want to talk to people who have camped out for something. I have never done it. There have been things that I've been very excited about in my life. I've been excited about new records coming out. I've been excited about movies coming out.
Concerts,
absolutely. Right. Yeah. I don't think I've ever camped out. Yeah, maybe I showed up for a Ticketmaster event 2 hours early or something like that to try to buy tickets at a box office. But camping out overnight to wait for something, that's not in my DNA. I'm sorry.
No, I don't even like to get in line.
I don't either. I'm terrible about that.
I won't go to a buffet in Vegas if there's like 10 people in front of me. I'm like, screw it. I'm going to go sit down at a restaurant. I'll pay full price. I do not like to be in line for anything, let alone sleep in line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Camping out. So we want to talk to you right now on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. That is our toll-free number. There's no line. You just have to pick up the phone and give us a call. If you've camped out for a Friday day after Thanksgiving sale, if you've camped out for a Harry Potter movie, whatever it is that you have camped out for, maybe to be first through the doors at a show at the Forum or something like that, where general admission, you want to get there early so you make sure you're up near the front of the stage. What have you camped out for, and how long have you camped out to wait for something?
And I also like to talk to anyone who's dabbling in food for the first time. I'd like to talk to them at all.
So this is your first time dabbling in food.
1-800-520-1067. Your call's coming up next.
How long have you been here camping out for your bracelet?
Since last night.
Wow.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Last night.
That's wow. Beer Mug yesterday on the streets of Hollywood talking to people who were in line, or online, as crazy Californians say it, to be the first through the doors at the brand new Chick-fil-A location in Hollywood because they got free chicken for a year. And we're talking about things you have camped out for. Hearing from a lot of people, listen to this guy. Matthew writes in on the email. I have camped out for Star Wars Episode 1. All of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, the X-Men movies, the release of the World of Warcraft expansions. This guy's just homeless, right? Isn't that what's going on? Man. He just has no place to go at night.
That's pathetic.
Love the show. Trevor writes, when Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows came out, my friends and I camped out overnight, not for the book, but for the wristband to be able to get the book the night before the book was released.
Oh, for God's sake.
See, stuff like that, books and movies and things that you can get just as easily 2 days after they come out, I just really can't wrap my head around.
Yeah.
Let's try Ryan. He's on line 8, and he'll get us started. Your phone call is at 1-800-520-1067. What have you camped out for? Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. What's going on? Hey, Lisa May.
Hi.
Basically, I camped out for Best Buy for 2 days, and I got the idea from my buddy from the year before because of what he did. I was in dire need of some money, and exactly what happened to him happened to me. A guy came up, offered me a lot of money up front. He originally went $500 to buy my place in line.
Really?
And I said, give me $1,000, and you can have it. And he goes, and so we ended up meeting almost in the middle at $700. But at Best Buy, you get four. It's an hour in the store for the first like 45 people in line to the whole store to yourself.
Wow. Okay, you're a totally different person than the person I was expecting. I mean, you did it strictly as a business deal. You knew there was a way to make $700 for what? About 24 hours work, right?
Yeah, basically.
I'm with you, dude. I got no problems with you.
Yeah, if you really need some cash.
I didn't know that Best Buy thing. The first, how many people get 45 minutes in the store?
Yeah, it depends on the store, but it's like 45 or the first 60 people. They allow you to go in and you get like the first like 30 minutes to an hour in the store by yourself. So it's not like overly crowded.
That's impressive.
They give you
they give you a number and everything. They actually allow you to go home, go use the bathroom, go home, take a shower, go eat and everything. Huh. Because you have to, you basically spend your Thanksgiving there in line.
Oh, in a parking lot in the mall, exactly right. Huh. All right, great call. Thank you very much. Let's try Matt. Matt is line 7, talking about what you've camped out for. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Good. What's up?
I camped out for a week to get Duke basketball tickets for the North Carolina game.
Oh, sure. The rivalry.
Now, yeah, I get. I mean, I hadn't thought about sports tickets. I mean, that's the type of thing you can buy from scalpers if you can afford it. But if you can't, those tickets are otherwise impossible to get unless you're able to get in there, right?
Well, for the North Carolina game, to be in the Duke student section, it's just for the freshmen. And so there's a whole campsite that Coach K actually goes out and visits just for that game.
Huh. Wow. Was it worth it in retrospect? Did you have a good enough time to justify camping out for a week?
It was definitely worth it. Haven't you seen the Duke crazies on TV before?
Yep, yeah, you're one of them.
Yep.
It was awesome.
I want to be as far away from those guys as possible, but whatever floats your boat. Yeah, thank you, dude. Appreciate that. Yeah. All right. Speaking of camping out for a week, let's try Travis, line 3. Hi, Travis. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. 7 days in line for what?
A Nintendo Wii.
Wow. A week for a Wii that you can get now in 5 minutes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And the sad part of all was I didn't have money at the time, so my friend came down and bought the Wii. I just camped out for it, and I bought it off of him later.
That's weird. Now, was the Wii one of those things that it went on sale and then sold out and nobody could get it for 3 weeks afterwards or something? If you didn't get it day one, you didn't get it. Was that the story?
My sister called GameStop for 4 months before she finally got one.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess if you're that excited about a video game,
you absolutely have to play baseball.
There's no other way to do that. Thank you for the call. All right, let's try Joshua, line 4. By the way, am I wrong? Is it all dudes so far camping out?
No, we got Leah on line 6.
All right. Yeah. We'll get to her in a second here. Josh, what's going on, dude?
What's up, guys? How you doing, Lisa?
Good.
I'm also a first-time dabbler in food, by the way.
Oh, congratulations.
Glad you're finally dabbling in food.
I just discovered it. I camped out for 2 days for a pair of Air Jordan sneakers that released last December. They hadn't been released in about 10 years, and then he does this. He brings them out every, like, 10 years or so, and they were very limited, so I had to camp out. They were about $180 when I got them, and now they're going for about, like, $500 to $600.
So, wow.
But I mean, you can't sell them, right, because you've worn them?
No, I haven't worn them.
Oh, no,
I
Lisa.
Them if I really want to. It's just, like, the factor of just having them.
He's a collector.
Oh, it's a business decision.
Yeah, so it's just, like, I love sneakers, so, I mean, I didn't mind waiting for 2 days for them.
See, something that is limited edition that you can only get for a short period of time and that would never make any more, I can kind of see that if you're really into it.
But is he going to really sell them, or is he really just going to have a pair of $180 shoes?
He's going to hold on to them. It's like any collector, and eventually, if he wants to, he can sell them and make a good profit.
Yeah, eventually, right. Eventually, I might wear them if I really want to.
Don't get crazy.
Like,
yeah, don't wear sneakers. That's nuts.
No. You don't put shoes on your feet. What are you talking about? Thank you very much for the call. That does make more sense than, like, we were talking about a movie or an album that you can buy or see the next day. Yeah. That really does. All right, let's do one more, and this is going to be the most shocking call on this topic we've ever had. Line 7, it's going to be Sean. You won't believe, Ralph, what he waited in line for.
All right. Sean?
Hi, Sean.
Yes.
What have you waited in line for a long time?
Kevin and Bean, holiday CD signing.
Kevin and Bean Christmas CD signing?
Yes.
How long did you wait?
About 12 hours.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Sean. Those crappy CDs were $8, and they were available everywhere. And they were available for weeks.
I was 14.
Still no excuse.
But by now, you've grown out of this silly show, right?
Totally.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Good man.
Good. I'm glad you just called by accident. All right, Sean, you're a good man. We appreciate you listening all these years. Thanks so much. Black Keys are scary, scary good musicians. Perhaps not the greatest interview ever, but I love them anyway. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:54. Steve-O is here. He joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Stick around for that. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for us on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
I love celebrity feuds. I can't get enough. And this one may be the biggest one ever. Forget Tupac and Biggie. Forget East Coast, West Coast. Mm-hmm. This one may, I don't know, it's going to escalate to violence for sure. And I'm a little frightened to see how it's going to shake down. It is on between Jonah Hill and Glee star Matthew Morrison.
No.
Yes.
What? How do they even intersect into the same world?
Apparently, there was a Fox function, and Matthew Morrison made a joke at Jonah Hill's expense, and he did not care for that. Then they ended up at another party, and Jonah Hill saw Matthew Morrison talking to Chase Crawford from Gossip Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't really make out what they were talking about, but he knows that Jonah Hill was the punchline of some joke in that conversation as well. He overheard it.
What could anyone say negatively about Jonah Hill?
I don't know, but here's Jonah talking about it on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, and I think he seriously cheesed off.
I wander behind these two guys, and I hear, summon, Jonah Hill, and then they both start laughing, right?
What is the
Matthew
deal?
Morrison says that. And so, on the punchline in this guy's joke, like, he doesn't even know I'm at this party, it's blah, 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 Jonah Hill, and then crack up?
What is his deal?
Yo, Matthew Morrison, you better bring it next time I see you, dude.
It is on. It is on like Donkey Kong.
That ought to be on the UFC card this weekend. Come on.
And Jonah's all in shape now. He's been working out and everything.
Yep. Got Brad Pitt in his corner.
Sweet.
Why not?
Sweet. Bring it.
Love it.
We live in a world of sequels, remakes, and reboots. Here's the latest in a long line. Hollywood Reporter said yesterday, Scarface.
Okay.
Remade.
Now, how?
Remade.
Why?
Scarface. Listen, the 83 version with Al Pacino was actually a remake of the 1932 version.
Mm-hmm.
That starred Paul Muni and George Raft, but I don't know. I don't know if Scarface really can support another reboot. Martin Bregman, the producer who did the Al Pacino version, is doing this one. He said it'll be another crime story about another guy named Tony who rises from the streets to the top of the heap when it comes to some crime world.
Look, we've had this discussion a million times before. As great as the, what'd you say, 1983 version?
Yeah.
82? As great as that version is, most people won't go out and see that at this point.
I don't know. Scarface?
I mean, it's a classic. There's no question it's a classic, but most people are not going to take the time to bother tracking it down and watching it.
Don't you think most people have seen it, though? I think it's one of those movies that every generation really has sort of tapped into and become fascinated by.
If so, if that's the case, if most people have seen it, then it doesn't make any sense to remake it. The only
right.
reason it makes sense to remake it is if there's, you know, there's a whole new audience out there for this story.
That's what I'm
saying. I don't get it.
Al can't be happy.
Wow. Well, come on now. Margaritas.
Minka Kelly. Mm-hmm. She and two other hotties are starring in Charlie's Angels debuts tonight on ABC. One of the crew members, however, probably won't be enjoying watching. He got dismissed. Turns out, while they were on set last month filming, this particular crew member slapped Minka Kelly's ass and held up a $100 bill. It was meant to be a joke. Minka apparently was not amused. Slapped him across his face, and word is next day he was not on the set. He was missing from the production schedule the next day. So
I think you're asking to be fired if that's the way you treat one of the stars of the TV show.
You know what? He may have lost a job, but you know what he got?
Right.
His hand on Minka Kelly's ass.
Well, almost worth it.
Almost worth it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tom Felton from the Harry Potter movies is 24 years old today. Laura Vandervoort. She was in V on Smallville, 27 years old. Billy Piper. Doctor Who fame and Secret Diary of a Call Girl, 29. Is your bell okay there? Your bell's struggling a little bit. You okay? I think you've got Bell's palsy.
Diggity. I'm reaching across in the opposite direction than usual with my left hand to hit the bell.
Oh,
that's
wow.
the problem. I know that's more information than you wanted.
If only that bell could be moved somewhere more easily reached.
It's not possible.
If only it was transportable. Bonnie Hunt's 50 years old today. Dave Hernandez of The Shins is 41. Scott Baio's 51. Joan Jett is 53.
Oh, my God. Really?
NBA Commissioner David Stern is 69. And Dodgers legend Tommy Lasorda celebrates his 84th birthday today.
Don't forget, say hello to
Jane Biondi.
Jane Biondi.
That's right.
Say hi to Jane Biondi for me.
Indeed.
That love into the blue line. He shoots. He scores. Jane Biondi for me!
Good old Jane Biondi, yeah. Apparently, Mug says he's going to be at the Dodgers game tonight. Tommy is?
Suiting up for the last
last time. He's co-managing.
Co-managing the team. Now that they have nothing to lose, they figure they can bring 84-year-old Tommy Lasorda and put him back in the
I hope
the
he
dugout.
Pitches. I hope they let him pitch.
I don't think that's going to happen. Tommy Lasorda wearing the uniform for the last time tonight at the Dodgers game.
Wait
so there's
a second.
A reason
what,
to go.
Why is it for the last time, Muggs? Why is it you hope he dies tonight?
I don't know. That's my buddy Chris told me.
I don't think they're expecting him to die. I just don't think he's going to be putting on a uniform again after tonight.
Yeah, but why
game.
Not do it again next year on his birthday is what I'm saying. Why do we assume this is the last birthday he'll be able to put on the uniform?
I don't think
question.
Is what we're saying at all. I think he's a vital, handsome, attractive, healthy 84 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
There it is. That unforgettable music that can mean only one of 10 things. Somebody from Jackass is in our studio. And this time, ladies and gentlemen, happens to be our favorite of the crew, Steve-O. Joins us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Of course, Steve-O, very successful stand-up comedian on stage at the Improv in Brea tonight.
Tonight.
Through Sunday. Is that right, Steve-O? Doing
that
a show every night
through
Sunday?
That is absolutely correct. Yeah.
Go to improv.com for details. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. It's, well, I actually recently broke my nose in black both
Oh, really?
Eyes.
That was so low profile. I don't think we heard anything about that. Let me set it up and play the tape for folks who maybe didn't listen. We talked about it early in the week. The Charlie Sheen roast was taped. Was it over this past weekend, Steve?
It was September 10th. So it was 2 weeks
ago. A couple weeks ago. And then they aired it on Monday night. She just blockbuster ratings, huge sensational ratings for that. And Steve-O was on, and he was doing his patented comedy like he does. Here's one of Steve-O's jokes from the panel.
And my hero, Charlie Sheen. Charlie definitely has tiger blood coursing through his veins. Unfortunately, that tiger is a helpless drug addict.
Steve-O was piling on. Before we move on to how the black eye happened, how do you? I mean, it's pretty impressive to be on the panel with Seth MacFarlane, Jeff Ross, guys like that. How do you even get in to do a roast on Comedy Central?
You know, I'm not sure. I think my sordid past and substance abuse issues might have helped me become a part of it.
You were a good match. Looked good on paper.
I've been to Crazy Town too, and you know my imaginary friends, probably helped me get on there. You know, I was pretty sure I had tiger's blood or something like that.
Sure. Did you in all of your partying days? And you've been sober how long now?
3.5 years.
That's awesome. 3.5 years, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. But in all your partying days, did you ever cross paths with Charlie Sheen, or were his parties a little more high-end than yours?
I did not. I did not ever party with Charlie Sheen. But but what a nice guy. Like he really is a cool dude.
It seemed like, and it's always fun to watch the person being roasted, it seemed like he was not faking it for the camera to appear to be a good sport. It seemed like he was genuinely enjoying all the barbs that were being tossed his way on Monday night.
I concur. Absolutely.
He seems like the kind of guy who enjoys attention, regardless of whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. I think he just likes to be the focus of the energy in the room.
I think that might be accurate. I just think he's a great guy. And
Well, let's not get crazy. He's not a great guy. Steve-O, do you have are your antenna up now when you see celebrities who appear to be going into a downward spiral because you've been there and you know what it's like? Do you have this overwhelming urge now to try to help people when you see them on TV or whatever and they're melting down?
You know, you can't impart willingness on people. If people are going to clean up their act, it's going to be because they want to. If I go rushing up to someone and say, man, you need help and clean and sober is the way to be, then I'm really just pushing them away. You know, it's not something you can really force people into.
You think it's better to lead by example sometimes than to?
I really try and just steer clear of the soapbox. Yeah. You know?
All right. So Steve-O's on stage. He's doing his comedy. Very well-received set. And then Steve-O, like he does, manages to turn it into some sort of act of physical pain. I don't know why a nice, simple, let's get together and have a conversation has to end up with you bleeding. But here was the brilliant idea that Steve-O brought to the roast.
And I am so grateful that you've let me be a part of this tonight. Right now, I'm going to do something insanely stupid for you. I am going to attempt to get a black eye from the former heavyweight champion of the world. Mike, bro, I am ready. Let me get that fist.
All right. What are you doing, Steve-O? What are you doing?
Of all the things you've done, this one really could have killed you.
You know, like, this, I might cross the line here, but there was one of my jokes at the roast. I said that that the last time I hung out with Mike Tyson, we locked ourselves in a bathroom. We ripped through 5 grams of cocaine, roughly. And I mean, way more than an eight ball, that's for sure. But that, you know, it's true. That story is very true. Mike and I were in a bathroom for hours, and after hours of doing cocaine in the bathroom with Mike Tyson, he said, "You know, Steve, everybody's got you wrong. You're actually a really smart guy," which I thought was hilarious. But when I said it at the, when I said that at the roast, I said that that was the last time I hung out with Mike, which wasn't technically true. The last time I hung out with Mike before the roast, if you can believe this, we were on a psych ward together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I mean, and it wasn't the psych ward that I was famously locked up in involuntarily by Johnny Knoxville. It was the psych ward that I wound up in 100 days into my sobriety when the fog cleared somewhat and I saw myself for the reality of the douchebag I'd become. And I just felt like just so, you know, desperately, you know, hateful.
Unhappy.
Unhappy. And I just felt like I hated myself. I wound up in a psychiatric ward in Pasadena. Dr. Drew probably wouldn't want me to get more specific than that.
And Mike Tyson was there, too.
Mike Tyson came through, yeah. And, This is before he got his act together, obviously. But we're sitting there in this loony bin. We're on the psych ward. We're like in the little TV room, and I'm begging Mike. I'm like, Mike, you don't have to punch me, man. Just hold out your fist and let me run it. Yeah, like I mean, I wasn't really trying to do it there per se. I wanted to be able to film it as a stunt, but like to be able to say that I got a black eye from Mike Tyson was just a dream that I had, and it's just hilarious. I was begging him to let me do that when we were on the psych ward together, and that wasn't the time. But,
and then you got a chance to do it years later on TV.
Right, yeah, and it was great. You know, after I did my little set on the roast, I ran in and I dove into his fist. It landed on my forehead. It really didn't work. It was kind of a failed stunt. And then I was sitting there squirming just for the rest of the roast, thinking, man, the headline's going to read, Wild Boy Ain't So Wild Anymore. You know, mm-hmm. Steve-O fails to, you know, like, and I was like, man, I got to do it again. So they let me do it again at the very end of the roast. I dove into his fist. It absolutely broke my nose, like, in two different directions. My nose was like, it was so broken. It was insane. It was pouring blood. I just knew that, and I knew that if you're going to break your nose, that's the way to do it. But you know, this is the last.
You were thrilled, I'm sure, that there was blood pouring out.
I was absolutely thrilled. The last thing that happened was that, and so then the show is all wrapping up. Some guy emerges from the crowd, walks over. He says, "Steve-O, your nose needs to be set now." Comes over. He says, "I'm a kung fu instructor for 12 years. I've set 20 broken noses." And this guy, like, just sits me down on the stage, puts his thumbs on either side of my nose, and just works these bones, like, back into place. He reset my nose, like, right there on the spot.
Oh, my God.
And I had broken my nose. Well, Bam Margera broke my nose on the set of Jackass 3D over a year before that. And I waited 2 months to go to a doctor who said, "You're here way too late. It's healed in this place. If you want it fixed, I got to re-break it with a chisel and then reset it." So my nose, when I showed up at the roast, was messed up. Mike Tyson rebroke it. Some kung fu dude resets it. And I swear I left with a straighter nose when I got there. And like,
it looks perfect.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
So highly recommend it, is what we're saying here at the radio show.
It was absolutely, a blessing in every way. And, you know, I am just so grateful I got to be a part of that.
If you haven't seen the roast yet or you have it DVR'd, watch through the credits, because what Steve-O is talking about, the second attempt at running into Mike Tyson's fist, happens after the credits have already begun. And sure enough, the last thing you see is just blood just gushing out of your face, which is how I think you like to end most evenings, right, Steve-O?
It's not
a successful night unless you're bleeding from somewhere.
Unfortunately for me, that is the brand that I have created.
All right. We got to take a break, Steve-O.
Of course.
Hang on to that thought. The Entirely Too Much Information Tour is happening this weekend. In fact, it starts tonight. We've seen Steve-O. You'll love him on stage. Improv.com is where you want to go. 18 and over, please, to buy those tickets. More with our guest after this on The Kevin and Bean. You know, from time to time on The Kevin and Bean Show, we say we wish you could hear what's going on during the songs because Steve-O is on a roll today. This is unbelievable. Steve-O is here fresh off his appearance on the Charlie Sheen roast, which aired this Monday night on Comedy Central. Of course, you can catch it in reruns if you haven't had a chance to see it yet. They'll be playing it for a while, I'm sure. And I wasn't even going to bring this up, Steve, because I didn't want to bring up a painful memory because I thought it was a hurtful thing to say that comedian Amy Schumer did from the dais. And I know there's been a lot of reaction. What was the joke that she told? And because the expression on your face was not one of, hey, I'm enjoying this at the time it aired.
It wasn't a joke that really at Ryan Dunn's expense. She said she was sorry that he passed. And when she heard that, she thought, oh, man, why wasn't it Steve-O? So it's like, you know, I mean, just bringing it up offended a lot of people.
Right. What has the reaction been like from Jackass fans over that?
Last night, Jeffrey Ross reached out to me and he said, hey, he said, Amy's worried about your feelings. And I told him, hey, man, I'm not crying about it. You know, it was a roast. Like, what do you want? And then he said, okay, well, really, like, she's getting death threats and she wants you to try and defuse the situation, you know?
So she's less worried about your feelings than her health.
Right. Exactly. She didn't give a crap about my feelings at all. But so anyway, so I told Jeff Ross, I said, okay, so what do you want? You know, you want me to, like, tweet out, you know, post something on Facebook and Twitter for the fans to tell them to, like, go easy to go easy and forgive her. And that's what I was doing during the commercials, or during the song, was I was reading everybody these texts that I was sending Jeffrey Ross, these hilarious texts that were wildly inappropriate, weren't going to diffuse anything.
But Steve-O, it sounds to me, Steve-O, like your opinion is the same as ours, and Ralph and I talked about this earlier in the week. A roast is a place where everything is on the table, right? Nothing is off limits.
Those roasts on Comedy Central are particularly brutal.
Right. I didn't find her joke funny, but it's not something that I was particularly resentful about or took very personally. It was a roast, you know?
Yeah, they were a lot harder on Tyson and Shatner than they were on you on that roast, by the way. Among the people not being roasted.
I got away with it pretty unscathed.
I think so, too, because no one knows who you are, right? That's why. Steve-O is here, by the way, because the Entirely Too Much Information Tour, and I can tell you that is exactly what you'll get when you show up at the Improv in Brea starting tonight and through the weekend. Go to improv.com. And Steve-O was also telling us, you can't believe the countries this dude is taking his comedy to. Like, in what world is Steve-O going to Iceland to do comedy and then to France and to Belgium? It's insane that this is now your life.
I know. It really, really is. It's a good time.
Are there still flames involved in your act, Steve?
The flames come in and out.
Literally.
There's always that risk when you go to see Steve live that you might want to bring some sort of fire retardant material.
I just wouldn't know how to sell tickets to a Steve-O show if I was going to stand there and talk the whole time. You know, I've really created a brand and I feel obligated to be faithful to it. So,
have you ever met anyone who has a Steve-O face on their body as a tattoo except for you?
I met a guy in Australia when I just toured Australia who got a larger than life portrait of himself on himself, which I was waiting. I was waiting to meet a guy like that. I would hate it if somebody pulled up their shirt and showed me their back and it was me on their back, because it's not what the joke is, you know?
Right. But, yeah, of course. Yeah, you got to do it on your own, right?
But this guy in Australia, his face on his back was even bigger than my face on my back. And I was just like so happy about it. You can see it on my website.
Is the Jackass money rolling in like crazy, like right now? Is it? I mean, I appreciate that you're committed to your craft and you're out there doing jokes on stage.
You don't need to go tour,
but you
probably
don't need to. Right? I mean,
you're the movie money.
You're practically Clooney at this point, right? With the Jackass profits.
Because I'm thinking they make those movies for cheap, and the box office numbers on those movies are huge.
Here are the numbers as I understand them. Okay. Jackass 3D. It was made for $20 million.
Right.
It brought in $180 million.
See. That's more.
So quick math, $160 million in profit from what I can
see. Right, and the cast is the whole purpose is for us to be compensated with a meager percentage of back-end profits. Yet, however, the cast has managed to receive not a single penny.
Zero money.
Zero money.
What? And
when my lawyer reached out to, you know, find out what was going on, the people at Paramount said, oh, well, Knoxville and his production company have received tens of millions of dollars on the back end. Like, and so my lawyer reached out to Knoxville's lawyer, who failed to respond entirely. And it's a little bit distressing. So please help me out. Come to the Brea Improv this weekend. Because I'm hurting for money, man.
Dude had to have a kung fu guy fix his nose because he can't afford a doctor.
He doesn't have health insurance.
That's how broke Steve-O is. Miyagi had to come out of the crowd and wax on, wax off on his nose to get him working.
If Knoxville's lawyer's listening, hey, man, like, call my dude.
And write a check.
Courtesy.
Yeah.
But Steve,
yeah.
you and Knoxville have been buddies since way back, far beyond what you guys do on
sure.
film. You've certainly reached out to him and said, hey, what's up, right?
He recognizes that there was some sort of clerical error which diverted tens of millions of dollars to him and his production company.
Oh, just that.
And he promises to get it fixed. But you ask too many questions, he gets pissed.
Yeah. Hey, I'm glad. I mean, you're right. It's an injustice, and you guys all deserve your piece of the pie. But I'm glad at least somebody got paid, because movies, as Ralph knows, notoriously are never quote unquote profitable.
Yeah.
Remember the guy who sued over Forrest Gump? Remember the studio was claiming that Forrest Gump did not make a profit, and that guy had to go sue. The guy who wrote it, I think, had to go sue because he never got a penny. So
they get creative with the accounting sometimes. That's true.
They really do, man. And like, I'd hate to bum anybody out, but we got, you know, us cast guys, you know, us henchmen on Jackass really don't get a big piece of the pie, if you can believe it. You know, we really don't get like a whole lot of action in this. And you know, there's guys in the cast that are absolutely broke, and one of them is sitting around waiting for his back end money to come in while his mom's dying, and he doesn't have a penny, and he's sitting there, he can't even take care of his own mom. So once again, Knoxville's lawyer, hey, why don't you call our guys?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I think we need to ratchet up the pressure on them looking into those books again, because you guys deserve your check.
Well,
and my final word on this, and then we got to say goodbye, unfortunately, is that the movies are so cheap to make and are loved all over the world in every language and make so much money, they ought to be really taking care of you guys so you continue to make them.
Right.
That's how I see it. Anyway.
You would think.
So. Well, for Jackass 4, maybe you want to look over that contract a little more carefully, maybe for the next one coming up.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more upfront money, I'm saying.
Yeah, there you go.
Take care of yourself going in, maybe.
Yeah. You know, I would love to do that, man. We have such a good time making these movies. And
of course,
I agree, man. They should really be going out of their way to take care of us right now.
Steve-O is our guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is a frequent and favorite guest of ours, and you can see him on stage at the Entirely Too Much Information Tour. It's going to be in Brea. That's going to be on stage tonight, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, 18+, and tickets are available through improv.com. You'll have a great time if you go out and see that show. Steve-O, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, guys. I love you, man.
Okay, loud, loud.
Chili Peppers on K-Rock 106.7, KROQ 943. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Thursday, Ralph is here with our final look at the show biz beat. By the way, how much fun is Steve-O every time he comes in?
He's great.
All awesome.
Love that
All
dude.
The fun.
So happy he's alive. Always such a charge to have him come into the studio. I really enjoyed him.
Nothing against this, and I think Steve would probably say the same. He is a much nicer person to be around now that he's sober.
I'm sure everybody feels that way about him.
He really, really is. He was fun before when he was loaded all the time, but he was sort of exhausting, and you wanted to get away sometimes. Often.
And he smells better now, and he keeps his pants on. There's just nothing but positive.
Doesn't break anything in your studio. It's all good.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, time for a look at the showbiz beat now. What's going on?
Before I get to showbiz news, I have got more passes to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of a movie that I've been looking forward to for some time. Hugh Jackman stars in Real Steel.
Yay!
When I say real, you say steel. Real.
Steel.
Real.
Steel.
It's happening on Tuesday, October the 4th is when our screening is. It's in movie theaters everywhere, Friday, October the 7th. But if you'd like to be one of the first people to see it before anybody else, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First three people who get through on that line, you get a pair of passes to go see the special advanced screening of Real Steel. How about that? It is premiere week on television. All the new shows are premiering this week, and a lot of your old favorites are coming back as well. Used to be, it would always happen on really one week would be it. That was all the new shows would debut at one particular time. Now they sort of spread it out over a couple weeks. There were a few last week. There are some, most this week, a few even the next week. And I
in
think
October
even
to
October,
yeah,
you'll see new shows. So I want to keep you
up
to date.
This is better, right? This way, because you get a chance to not miss some of the new premieres.
Yeah, absolutely. But you may not know what's going on out there. So I want to give you the heads up as we get into this new season about what's new and what's coming back, so you can set your DVRs accordingly. Here is tonight's premieres. Charlie's Angels over there on ABC will be debuting tonight. 35 years to the day that the original Charlie's Angels premiered. And that's something.
Will it be the last episode aired?
How dare you, sir?
It's going to be first if they let
Why
the whole episode
Why you hating on my
if,
angels?
If they let the whole episode air, will it be still the last episode they air? Or will they pull it halfway through?
You know, the old school Charlie's Angels used to have a formula that within the first 15 minutes of each episode, someone had to be in a bikini. I'm not kidding. That was their goal within the first 15 minutes of the show, to have somebody in a bikini. I'm hoping this Charlie's Angels will try to live up to that honorable tradition. Grey's Anatomy on ABC also. Its brand new season starts tonight. Big Bang Theory on CBS. Person of Interest. This is the one I'm really excited about. New one from J.J. Abrams starring Michael Emerson, who was, of course, Ben on Lost. He stars alongside Jim Caviezel. Interesting premise. A guy invents a machine that is able to accurately predict violent crimes in the future. He can tell, though, this person's going to be involved in a violent crime in the future. He doesn't know whether they're going to be the perpetrator, the criminal, or the victim, but he knows what's going on, and then they have to go out there and try to prevent that crime from happening. The Mentalist on CBS also comes back tonight. Community with our buddy Joel McHale. We talked to him earlier today. That's tonight. Parks and Recreation, The Office, Whitney, and Prime Suspect. All those on NBC. You can check those out. That Whitney scares me, man. Boy, is that
I
scary.
Love her so much.
Oh, scary. Oh, boy, she sure is sexy, and she sure likes to sex it up with her boyfriend, but she's sometimes so wacky she can't do it well or effectively.
She is also the creator of that show we talked about earlier in the week, the Kat Dennings show. The Two Broke
Two
Girls.
And a Half Waitresses.
Two and a Half Waitresses. She's also the creator of that, so she's got a busy fall week, that's
yes,
for sure.
Yes, she does.
This is a golden age of chicks that Bean has a crush on television, though, between Whitney and Kat and Zooey Deschanel all at one time. I'm loving it.
That's Zooey. That New Girl show, I really enjoyed that. And now Zooey has another reason to celebrate. She's a brand new aunt. Her sister, Emily Deschanel, and her husband, David Hornsby, are the proud parents of a brand new baby boy. Emily, of course, the star on Bones. And David Hornsby has a new sitcom. You probably know him from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but he also, of course, was on the Joe Schmo Show, played Hutch the A-hole in the first season of Joe Schmo.
That.
Yeah, that's why Hornsby and I are buddies. How to Be a Gentleman is the name of his new series. It comes on CBS, I think, within the next week or so. So congratulations to those guys. While we're talking about Charlie's Angels as well, Minka Kelly was on the set last month when a crew member came up and slapped her ass while holding a $100 bill in the air. Oh, hilarity ensued. Minka took it with a grain of salt and laughed along. Oh, no, wait a minute. She hadn't fired.
I thought most, am I wrong about this, Lisa? I thought most women love it when you make it rain.
Yeah, not so much like that. And
well, that
know,
was the problem. He didn't have singles. He just had a $100 bill. He had singles and had done that thing and made it rain all over her. Then she would have seen the comedy in it.
Right.
I'm sure.
Kind of a female-centric show. So maybe know where you are when you do something like that.
But they're Charlie's Angels. You know what I mean? Like, hello, yeah, sex symbol. Hello, sex symbol.
Wow, is Lisa uptight or what?
Yeah, why don't you go get me some coffee, Lisa? I appreciate that. That's a good girl.
That's going to happen. Never.
Scarlett Johansson's got a new boyfriend. Yes, it's me. All right, finally, I can say it. Or it's Kieran Culkin. I can't remember.
What?
Yeah.
Kieran Culkin?
Kieran Culkin. How about that?
The legendary acting Culkin family.
That's right. They were seen together having dinner at the Champs-Élysées.
What?
In Paris. Then, according to witnesses, they hit up the Crazy Horse. For those of you who don't know, the Crazy Horse is the world-famous burlesque club that features nude women performing on stage in Paris. So Scarlett Johansson sitting there having cocktails looking at naked chicks. So she spent her night.
Wow. I hope she went back to the hotel and took some more photos.
I'm guessing not so much.
Think she's done with that chapter in her career?
I think she has learned, perhaps, that those are best kept on a separate camera. Today's celebrity birthdays: Tom Felton from the Harry Potter films is 24 years old. Laura Vandervoort, she was on V and Smallville as well, played Supergirl in that show, 27 years old. Billy Piper from Doctor Who fame, also Secret Diary of a Call Girl. Wow, it's a good day for me. I got Billy Piper from Doctor Who and Laura Vandervoort, who was Supergirl in Smallville, having the same birthday on the same day. It's a geek fest right there for me. Bonnie Hunt is 50. Scott Baio is 51. Joan Jett celebrates.
How about the horrors?
No. Joan Jett was at the Blackhearts. No, it's a different band. 53 years old today. David Stern, NBA commissioner, is 69. And Dodgers legend Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah! Don't forget, say hello to
Jane Biondi.
Jane Biondi.
That's right. He is 84 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. How about tomorrow's all-new Kevin and Bean show?
I'm already tired.
You guys sitting down for this?
I'm already exhausting.
I mean, you might as well just set the alarm and get up first thing tomorrow, because you won't want to miss a juicy second of this. We're going to come right out of the gate tomorrow with the singing dog from Werewolf. Taylor Lautner is going to be joining us.
He is from Twilight. He's not from Werewolf.
Whatever it's called. No, I don't know what.
Yeah. He was the wolf in Twilight.
He does not sing.
He's a talking dog. I don't know anything about it. He's got a new film called Abduction. And Mr. Lautner will join us, and we'll compare abs. Then right after that, Kevin Smith is coming in. He's got a movie available in theaters and on video on demand, and now out on DVD or coming soon, called Red State. I've never heard of that, but we'll look forward to hearing from Kevin Smith.
I saw that, but I won't talk about it.
I know.
Actor Jason Statham is joining us tomorrow. He's got that phenomenal Killer Elite movie. Can't wait to talk to him. Phil Kogan, host of The Amazing Race, is going to be on the
Hulk
show tomorrow.
Hogan's going to be on the show?
Phil Kogan. Jonah Hill is coming on back, talking about Moneyball in theaters tomorrow.
Great.
Doesn't it seem like Amy Winehouse?
Yeah. She's not going to be able to make it. But doesn't it seem like right there that's already too much show?
Too much.
Now I'm going to throw in Anna Torv from the TV show Fringe.
I cannot
She's going to be on
that.
The show.
Where's Peter Bishop?
Cousin Sal will be on to give his NFL picks for the weekend. Also, it's Friday. That means we got the movie beat, and the beautiful LaQuisha will be reviewing tonight's Jersey Shore on MTV. All of that tomorrow, right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean.